Morning, everybody. Matt Puvala here with you, 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up even later with us here on the Matt Puvala Show. We'll be with you until 5 a.m., and Patty's friend Dave Lundy has decided to be nice enough to stay for a couple extra minutes to hang out with us because we want to hear. All right, Dave, we got to do a mic check here. I have no idea what mic you're on.
I'm on this mic. Look at that.
Perfect. Thank you for hanging out a few more minutes. I wanted you to stick around because I'm friends with you on Facebook, and I've been following your adventures. You took a family trip to Israel.
Yes.
For how many days? We were there for two weeks. It was a long time.
It was a long trip.
How long are you staying there?
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's a lot of falafel. I love that food, but by the end of 2 weeks, I was falafeled out.
Now, so I know almost nothing about Israel, and it's funny because at the beginning of the year, I was going to learn everything about Israel because I thought Israel was going to dominate the news this year. And it is so amazing to me that we moved the embassy and then I'm thinking we got all sorts of craziness going to go on. And we haven't talked about Israel at all in the last 6 months.
Yeah, not so much.
So give me the recent on the whole move of the embassy. What's going on with that there?
Well, it's interesting because I went hunting for the embassy, and I found the U.S. consulate, but that's not the embassy. And then we actually the hotel we stayed at in Tel Aviv was across the street from the old U.S. embassy, but I couldn't find it. I know it's there, but I couldn't actually find it.
They opened it, or did they do a groundbreaking
They opened part of it, and they have to build an expansion because an embassy in a country like Israel is a major undertaking.
And I imagine it's got to be a fortress-like thing that they build because of just the tensions of the whole thing.
You know, actually, right? It's interesting because the American embassy, the old American embassy in Tel Aviv, is on a main street. It's not, it's a secure compound, but it's nothing that you would go to and even notice it was an embassy if you didn't look.
Really?
It's just kind of like right in the middle of, right on the beach. It's a pretty cool, you notice it because there are all these electronics on top.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's not what you would expect because, you know, Israel isn't a place like Afghanistan. It's a pretty darn safe place.
Yeah.
So.
Now, are you being honest that you couldn't find the new one? You were literally looking
for it? No, I literally was looking for the new one. I'm sure I could have found it if I said to a cab driver, take me to the American embassy.
Right.
I was doing a lot of walking.
Sure.
And so I saw the American flag. I'm like, oh, it's the American consulate. Or I was hoping that was the American embassy. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for the plaque dedicated to by Donald Trump.
Right. Ivanka's plaque?
Exactly, Ivanka's plaque. But it was not there. So.
Okay.
I'm sure the embassy is easy to find, but apparently it's not like right in the middle of where a lot of stuff is in Jerusalem. It's a little outside of the area.
Okay. And is that still being talked about a lot? I mean, I imagine within Israel it moved and everything's cool with that and they're happy. But is that still a huge source of tension in the area?
I'm sure it's a source of tension among the Palestinians. I am absolutely a staunch Zionist. I can't stand Bibi Netanyahu and I thought it was a stupid move. But Israel was the only country on earth where the embassy is not where their capital is. Jerusalem is their capital. Jerusalem has been their capital. And so it was always a very strange thing that, you don't get to define where your own capital is because of the controversial nature of Jerusalem.
Right.
Being claimed by more than just the Israelis, but also the Palestinians.
Well, that's the issue, though. I mean, right, because Israel says this is our capital, but who was recognizing before the U.S. moved their embassy there? Who else was recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel?
Well, so here's the interesting thing. It's not even so much that countries don't recognize that Jerusalem is the capital. It's that Jerusalem is a divided city because you've got East Jerusalem and then you've got West Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to 1967, in the Six-Day War, the holiest site in Judaism is the Western Wall of the Old Temple. Which is an amazing place, and Jews come, now Jews come from all over the world to go to the Western Wall. But when the Jordanians were in control of it, they would not allow Jews to go to the wall to pray. And so there are very iconic photos when during the Six-Day War, when Israel captured Jerusalem and captured the Old Wall, you've got all these soldiers that it was very emotional that they go, and these are the first Jews who had been in the Western Wall, you know, in decades. So it is the capital. It's just that because it's they're part of the city that the Palestinians claim, it's a controversial city, sure. And so they just don't they don't acknowledge it in a clean sort of way.
Right. And when you say the city is divided, is it literally divided? Are there checkpoints?
No, it's,
is there...
it's not at all, actually. In fact, I went through several checkpoints. I was in the West Bank because we stayed in Tel Aviv. We stayed in the north near the Golan Heights. And I could see Lebanon. I could see Syria. I could see Jordan. Because what people don't recognize, Israel, even though it dominates American news oftentimes,
right.
It's a teeny tiny country. It's smaller than New Jersey.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Israelis, when you say, oh, well, I want to, you know, we're going to go to this place, they're like, oh, my God, it's 45 minutes away. They're like, what? Like, geez, I drive that on a daily commute.
Yeah.
So they get very freaked out by mileage because it's literally a tiny country. It's less than 200 miles from one tip to the other.
That's the long drive.
That's the long drive.
Side to side would be less, right?
Well, side to side, the narrowest spot in the green line and the pre-67 line mm-hmm. is 9 miles. Mm. Right near Tel Aviv, literally, it's 9 miles wide. I bike there, you know, in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Jerusalem isn't really divided in that way. There are checkpoints in certain parts of the West Bank. And yes, the checkpoints for Palestinians in certain areas are very onerous. And there is now a wall, a security barrier, because there was so much terrorism coming in from the West Bank, and there were Israeli bus bombings. And my wife lived in Israel from 95 to 96, and she missed getting blown up on a bus because she overslept. She normally met this other guy, and they would sit in the back of this bus. I think it was the number 10 bus in Jerusalem. And that day, she overslept. And so because she overslept, he didn't sit in the back of the bus. He sat in the front of the bus, and she didn't even make the bus. And that bus blew up, and she would have been killed. And so, yes, after that wave of bombings in the 90s and in the 2000s and the Second Intifada, they built this security barrier, and it's a very controversial thing, but it has stopped the bombings, and it has stopped the kind of security problems that they were having.
Did her friend survive because he was in the front of the
her
bus?
Her friend survived. Wow. He lost hearing in one ear. He was severely injured. It took a long time to recover, but he did survive.
Was that one of the reasons your wife ended up moving away from Israel?
No. She was there for an internship.
Okay.
She worked for a non-governmental organization called the Israel Women's Network. She lived there for 10 months.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. In fact, she her flight back to the States to come visit was on the day Rabin was assassinated.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like the entire flight, apparently. Everybody was crying the whole time.
Wow.
So.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to talk to you more about this over the months. When you have time after Patty's show and you can talk a little Israel, I'd be fascinated to hear more. I'm trying to read the book about Golda Meir. Is it Lioness? There's a biography
yes.
of Golda Meir that came out about a year or two ago, I think, and I have it at home, and it's on my nightstand, and it is ginormous. And so I'm trying, once this all happened, I'm like, I got to start, you know, trying to learn more about Israel. And
Golda Meir, who was from Milwaukee.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. But then, of course, everything else overtakes the news, and suddenly Israel, who I thought would dominate the news this year, did not.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much.
But
I will just say the one of the highlights of the trip was that I got to kick something off the bucket list, which was I got to fly in the upper deck of a 747.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that because I've never been on a 747. Now they're not flying out of Chicago at all.
Or? No, they are, but they're being retired,
right?
I
think United's already done with them, right? At least
I think so. Yeah,
you know, at least through Chicago.
And British Airways is which we flew through London is still flying them from Chicago to London. until I think 2025 or something like that, and they'll be retired, which is a shame because I have to tell you, it was the upper deck. We flew on miles and we were in business class, and it was an amazing experience. There are 20 seats in the entire upper deck. You have two flight attendants for 20 people. It's quiet. It's fantastic. It's like flying private. It was awesome.
So you flew from Chicago to London, so it's like a six-ish hour flight?
Or is it about even seven going and eight coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is so business class on British Airways, and is that cocktails? Is it just you got some extra room? Like, what are the amenities these days?
The seats, they're like these pods. They're lie-flat seats. Okay. They're pretty cool. You know, you have nice electronics, and you know you're treated well, and you get free drinks. And I didn't take advantage of it because I'm not a big drinker. But
yeah, and it's a long flight to be drinking on, unless you're trying to take a nap.
Well, when you're coming back and it's the morning, and it's always the morning, you don't really like to drink in the morning. But the weird part about their business class is that they have these pods that are facing each other. So half the seats.
That would be weird.
It is. And half the seats fly backwards. It's like being on an L car or the old L cars
where
the seats, or a Metro train where the seats face each other. And so literally taking off when you're facing the back of the plane was a weird experience.
Yeah, because you're going up.
Yeah.
On a train, you're just going straight back and forth.
Exactly.
But on this, you're like, now I'm facing
And when they're
way.
Accelerating and you're going like, wait, why am I moving away from the seat? That's just not the normal. Normally, you know, people are used to, you go take off and you get thrust in the back of your seat. Yeah, no. You're like falling forward.
Did you get used to that pretty quickly? Or was that like, wow, I do not like this?
I adapted. Okay. But it would not have been my preferred approach.
Do you then, is it easy to talk to the person you're with, or are those separated real good by dividers and stuff because you're in business class?
No, they're not. I mean, there's a divider window that goes up and down.
Okay.
It has to be down for takeoff, though. I mean, I was traveling with my family, and there are four of us. It's a nice even number, so you had one facing each other, no big deal.
Yeah.
So I was with one of my sons one leg and one of my sons the other leg, and they let us have just my wife and I got to be together once, which was really nice.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal. But I can imagine if I'm alone with a stranger, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have to look at you the whole freaking flight.
Well, the window goes up, and then as soon as they take off, and then I guess you get some rest.
Exactly.
Do you feel like, since I've never been in it, when I've been in bigger planes like DC-10s or whatever, just the size of it, are you walking around in that upper deck like feeling like, wow, this is huge? Or because it's the upper deck, is it still somewhat
small? The upper deck is narrow. It's a single aisle. So it's actually, the upper deck is, it feels very much like a small plane, frankly, like a regional jet.
Okay.
It's not a big, you know, area.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know, you're in a plane and you're taking stairs.
Yeah.
You're walking up the stairs.
So you walked up a staircase to get to that. That's great.
Yeah.
So when you walked into the main cabin, did that just feel like you're in a room?
Oh, yeah. The main cabin is huge.
Yeah.
And so the flight from London to Tel Aviv is a 777, which is, you know, your normal two aisles and 242, even in business class. That was a very different experience because, frankly, the flight crews were surly and, you know,
felt back at home, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Felt very comfortable, very much like economy back in steerage, but with lie-flat beds. It occurred to me that the reason the flight crews are so nice in the upper deck, they only have to deal with 20 people.
Yeah, sure.
It's easy.
And they're going to be happy. You're giving them drinks. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. You're friendly and everybody's nice and we're all happy to be in the upper deck.
Yeah, nobody's trying to cram something in the overhead bin that doesn't fit, things like that. It's not the usual crowd.
Exactly. No. And actually, and on the 747, unlike the 777 on the 747, they're on the upper deck, there's tons of storage on the, not just your pods, but on the side, there are all these storage bins, which make it really nice. I want to go fly again. I don't care where I fly to, but that was really awesome.
And does it feel like, you know, with the little planes, like when I fly to Kansas City and it's a one and then two seats, so it's just three seats across.
Right.
You feel every bump in the runway.
Yes.
When you're on those bigger planes,
not so much.
You don't feel anything. When you're in the upper deck, do you feel takeoff much at all?
The upper deck is very different because you don't. I mean, other than the flying backwards thing. But you don't. It's quieter because you're removed from the engines. You don't feel the vibrations. You don't have those sensations.
Yeah.
Well, plus the 747 is such an enormous plane. The acceleration is slow and gradual.
Yeah.
It's why it needs the long runways to take off and land. But it's really a nice, and I've flown private, you know, with clients or stuff,
sure.
and private is just an amazing experience.
Sure.
This is as close as you're going to get to flying private when you're flying commercial.
Very cool. Dave Lundy from Patty's Show. Thank you so much for hanging out. I really appreciate it. We'll see you next Friday night.
Good to see you back, Matt.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thank you so much. All right, we got to take a break. We got the news headlines coming up with Roger in just a couple minutes. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. In the morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here, Allstate Skyline Studios on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker, our new home for WGN Radio. Thanks for staying up late with us. Hey, if you've tried texting, Patty kind of broke the text line somehow.
Wah, wah.
That happens.
And then she leaves.
Well, I mean, what's she going to do?
I know.
I asked. I said, can we just have people text your phone and then you just stay and read them to us?
Yeah. What'd she say?
She said no.
Oh. Party pooper.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, the text line is not working. So, you're going to have to go all old-fashioned, people, and just use your voice and dial those numbers, 312-981-7200. And you do that, and Curtis will answer the phone. Jess is off tonight, just having car problems.
Oh, no. Not again.
Yeah. And she's got to get that fixed early in the morning. So just can take a night off once in a while. It's good to get a Friday night where you're actually doing something, hanging out, and then sleeping in the morning. So good for her. She'll enjoy the weekend. She'll be back next week. Curtis is with us tonight. So he'll answer the phone if you dial 312-981-7200. I know there's a lot of you that get all riled up every time I start talking about our president. However, it's kind of a week where we're not going to be able to avoid that the entire night. So strap it on. We're going to talk about the week that was, probably after 3 a.m. or somewhere in there. There's a lot going on. Roger and all of you at home as well are going to take a little personality quiz.
Oh, good.
Find out a little something about ourselves.
Okay.
And we're going to check in, I think, after your 2 a.m. news with our friend Chrissy in Hawaii.
Yeah.
They've got Hurricane Lane, right?
Well, it's Tropical Storm Lane now.
Oh, it's not even it's
been
a hurricane.
It's been
anymore?
Downgraded, but they've still got a lot of winds and about 70 mile an hour winds, I think it was. And
did it make that left hand turn? Is it moving away from the islands?
Oh, let me double check that. Because the report I just had didn't say anything about direction.
Boy, I'm surprised that it weakened. I thought it's over all
well,
that warm water.
A lot of storms do that. A lot of
usually
storms do that when they start getting towards land.
But there's not a lot of land there. It's not like it's hitting Texas.
But still, you're going over water and you have different water temperatures as you approach land masses and stuff. And it's so, I mean, that can happen.
I don't mean to sound disappointed.
Right.
That's terrible because, you know, they got flooding.
Well, look
and all
what happens
stuff
when
going on. I don't want them to have bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, hurricanes are kind of oddly exciting, I guess, to those of us in the Midwest who will never see one or be worried about
Well, unless you're vacationing somewhere that gets them.
Well, true, but it's not like it's going to damage your home if you're on vacation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So.
Let me see here. Okay, so I'm clicking on the National Weather Service. Tropical Storm Lane. Would you like the actual location? 19.2 degrees north, 158.4 west.
Just give us the general idea.
It's about 130 nautical miles south of Honolulu, moving northwest at 3 knots. It's going to track slowly northwest overnight, turn more toward the west Saturday. Lane will continue moving west across the area Saturday night through Sunday, then pass west and northwest of the waters Monday through Wednesday. And then it just gives a lot of expected positions, again, the latitude and longitude. So tonight, tropical storm warning in effect. Expected south central waters, elsewhere east winds 20 to 30 knots, seas 8 to 16 feet, numerous thunderstorms. That pretty much stays through all the way through, let's see here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're expecting this to have an effect there all the way through Wednesday. Yeah, with high waves, winds. The storms, they're not calling for storms after, say, late Sunday evening.
Now, Roger, we're already in... Now, wait a minute. I got two questions for
you. Okay.
One is, I thought, and pardon my ignorance here.
Well, I may be ignorant, too, so go ahead and
let's
ask.
See if we can double up on the ignorance.
Okay.
hurricanes.
Yes.
Off of Florida, the Gulf, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought when they were on... the other side,
mm-hmm.
so further west, I thought there were cyclones.
Okay.
Like, in Japan doesn't have hurricanes, right? Don't they have cyclones?
I think it's dependent upon the hemisphere.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference from the NOAA.
East or west direction. I think it's dependent upon the hemisphere. Because I think if a hurricane were to hit, like, South America or on the southern part of Africa,
okay.
I think it's would be technically called, like, a cyclone or something like that.
Hurricanes and typhoons are the same weather phenomenon.
Typhoon, that's what I meant.
Tropical cyclones. Okay. Is a generic term used by meteorologists to describe a rotating organized system of clouds and thunderstorms that originates over tropical or subtropical waters and has closed low-level circulation.
Okay.
What's
the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane?
They're the same weather phenomenon. Let's see here. The term high. Here we go. In the North Atlantic, Central North Pacific, and Eastern North Pacific, jeez, the term hurricane is used.
Okay.
The same type of disturbance in the Northwest Pacific is called a typhoon. Meanwhile, in the South Pacific and Indian Ocean, the generic term tropical cyclone is used regardless of the strength of the wind associated with the weather system.
So here we have a tropical storm, mm-hmm. but there even a Category 5 hurricane would be a tropical
cyclone. Yeah.
Huh.
That's weird. Why would they make the distinctions?
Well, I wonder if just there's different bodies of people who started reporting on this way back when, before we were all one small little world.
That's true.
And they're like, no, dude, it's a typhoon over here, mm-hmm. and we're not doing the hurricane stuff. We like typhoon.
Right. I gotcha. Okay.
Typhoon has kind of a cool sound to it. You know, here in America, like where Jack goes to high school, Marion Central Catholic, they're the mm-hmm. hurricanes.
There you go.
We probably don't have any high schools that are the typhoons.
Oh,
the Miami Hurricanes. We don't have the Miami Typhoons.
Well,
you
how
think
about...
there's a... So if somehow there was a hurricane hitting Seattle, would that still be a hurricane or would that be a typhoon?
That would... Man, now you got... Well, what did I just say?
Well, you said the Northwest...
Yeah, see, I got mixed up with the directions.
I don't know where the Northwest Pacific is.
The Eastern North Pacific. In the North Atlantic, Central North Pacific.
Well, Eastern North Pacific would be Seattle and Alaska, right?
Yes, and then the term hurricane is used.
Oh. So anything near America is hurricane?
Yeah. Pretty much.
What if it crossed over? Would it go from a typhoon to a hurricane? What if it crossed zones?
Well, it's got to pass through security first.
It'll never make it through
TSA. And if it doesn't have its papers...
That hurricane's never getting through TSA. Yeah,
if it doesn't have the right papers... we have fun.
By the way,
yes.
The Northwestern Wildcat season is upon us. Coach Fitz will join the Steve Cochran Show on Monday at 7:10 a.m.
Go Cats!
It is a very exciting time of year.
It is.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
You got the Cubs playing really well, mm-hmm. although we got to talk about that as well.
All right.
I'm not so happy with that.
Well.
I'm not a big fan. I didn't even know. So when I first heard the Cubs got Daniel Murphy.
Right.
And he's a notorious Cub killer, so that should be like, hey, good, he's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Daniel Murphy. This is before I knew anything about his stance on homosexuality. Just Daniel Murphy. Now, maybe it's because he's been so rotten to the Cubs over the years on the field.
Yeah.
But it's not. And it's really, this is terrible, but I don't like the look of Daniel Murphy.
What, does he look like he's going to rip your head off?
No, he doesn't. Okay. He just, and I pardon the phrase, he looks real douchey to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Him and Joey Votto are my two least favorite players in the world. They just have an aura of them, like they're the guys that you would just probably want to sucker punch at some point.
Well, because they continually dare you to do that.
No.
They, but I understand what you're saying by the look.
Just with their look, the face,
yes.
The whole, like, vibe they give off.
Yeah, I understand
that. Guy in the bar.
It's a guy, like, who walks in the bar.
That's groping women or, like, being just, you know, it's that guy.
Yeah.
And I apologize to both of them. I don't know them at all. Maybe they're very nice gentlemen, although from what I hear about Daniel Murphy, not so much. But
yeah,
they just look like that's one of those guys that would be the guy that you want to throw a punch at.
All right, let me...
And it's terrible to base that on looking at somebody. That's just awful.
Now, let me side with him for a second. Do you think that the Cubs organization, based on what they've put together in the quality of players, and I'm not just talking about ability, but I'm talking about personality, do you think that the Cubs would jeopardize the feel of the clubhouse by bringing in someone that could disrupt that with his vibe, with his personality, with whatever baggage he's bringing in? They've done a real good job for the last 2, 3, 4 years of building a clubhouse feel that has turned them into winners. Do you think they would take a chance on the type of player you were just talking about?
I don't know. I mean, I you know, the Cubs said they did. Now, they've only been talking about the homosexuality issue. And for those of you that don't know, Daniel Murphy, who the Cubs acquired from the Nationals and who in 2015 on the Mets just killed the Cubs in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He, a couple of years ago, made some statements after Billy Beane, who was an executive with the Oakland A's, was tasked with doing some diversity and inclusion talks to major league teams. He went to the Mets spring training, I think in 2015, and met with the players and talked to them. And afterwards, when Murphy was asked about it, he said, "Seems like a good guy. I'm very happy to get to know him, but I disagree with his homosexual lifestyle." I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he did say the words, "I disagree with the lifestyle." And so that has riled up LGBTQ Cubs fans and supporters, because the Cubs acquired somebody who would make statements like
well,
that.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Laura Ricketts
is
the owner.
An owner
yeah.
of the Cubs. She's gay, mm-hmm. and she is famously, you know, when her father, Joe Ricketts, who is the patriarch of the family who started TD Ameritrade, he owned DNA Info here in Chicago, he was a big Trump supporter after his other candidates he was supporting fell out of the race. And she was a Hillary supporter, and she, you know, was public with that. And she has declined to give comments. So Phil Rosenthal in the Tribune wrote that that he spoke with Laura, and she said, you know, I forget what she said, but it was something like, "I'll make a statement on Twitter later." But she said, you know, I hope that people know, because Parker, I think it's Molly Parker, is a writer who I follow on Twitter, I see on Twitter, who wrote a piece for The Guardian about why she's saying goodbye to this Cubs season. As a gay woman, she's like, you know what, I'm done with the Cubs for this year. And it crushes her because she's a huge Cubs fan. But she feels like she can't just let this go, and I get that. So Phil was asking her about that, Laura, and she said, you know, "Don't think that no thought went into this, and I'll have a full statement on it later," is kind of what she said. So it'll be very interesting to see what she says. And I just checked her Twitter feed. She has not made a comment on the Daniel Murphy signing as of yet that I can see. So I don't know when she will do that. But I imagine she will sometime soon. And I believe this weekend, I believe is today. Today is Out at Wrigley Day. And that's
yeah.
The Cubs' support for the community. It's Out at Wrigley Day. And some of the fans who are going, and I know there was talk among the group that kind of hosts that at Wrigley of really, you know, letting Daniel Murphy know we're here and we're fans of the Cubs. And, you know, it's a, he didn't make really awful, awful comments, but he made comments that, that are disappointing to say the least in today's day and age. And with where the Cubs field is and with their fandom and just in general, to me, it's just, and I know there's a lot of people out there that agree with him, but it's tough to hear somebody say, I disagree with the lifestyle, because that implies that you're choosing this, as if I chose to be heterosexual. I didn't choose that. That's how I started liking things. It's not like, oh, I'd like to be gay, but I know that's a bad lifestyle choice, so I'm not going to choose that. I just don't believe that's how it works. So when somebody says, I disagree with that lifestyle, and I don't know if Daniel's very religious or where that comes from. I just don't know that much about him. But it will be interesting to follow and see where that ends up. But I didn't like him to begin with. He looks like that guy in the bar.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. By the way, I found some typhoons.
He's played really well so far, which, oh well. Which I'm glad for. You know, I want the Cubs to do well, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be disappointed that it's with him, quite honestly. So
yeah, but it's not a long contract.
No, but yeah. No, it's...
It's to fill some gaps for the rest of the year.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
And I doubt the Cubs re-sign him because they've got so many other players. But with the injuries and everything else, Chris Bryant missing and the, you know, holes in the pitching, you know, there's...
They've had to piecemeal something together to keep going.
And they've still done really, really, really well. Considering, and they're probably going to make a deep run, and I just don't really like Daniel Murphy leading it off. Yeah. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
What's your typhoon news?
Cape Youth Football Association, the Typhoons.
Where that?
Cape Coral, Florida.
Oh, there we go.
Where there are hurricanes.
Maybe the other team in town already had hurricane. They're like, you know what? We'll be Typhoons.
Could be. But they're the Typhoons. But it's a youth football. And the only other Typhoons that I found so far are soccer clubs in England.
And
called Typhoons.
Would it be a Typhoon in England?
I don't know. Atlantic? What did I say about the Atlantic? North... Oh, you're confusing me.
I don't even remember anymore.
So many things now.
Well, and they don't even have the weather to even ever have a tropical storm in any sense of
but
the word.
But they have horrible storms in England over the past year, the flooding.
Yeah, but they never have, like, a hurricane or typhoon, right? Is it?
Not
or
that
actually,
I
mean. A year or so ago, was there some sort of hurricane?
What, in hurricanes in England?
Oh, or was it just big storms? I swear there was.
2017. How often does Britain get hit by hurricanes?
By the way, our wonderful listener, Deanna O'Naperton, said on Twitter, hey, Matt, why aren't you recommending people tweet you? And so you can do that. Follow me on Twitter,
there
at Matt Mubala. If you're a Twitter user, you can send us tweets as well throughout the night, or call 312-981-7200, and we can chat with you there.
Leftovers of Hurricane Katia are blowing through Britain. This is 2011 in September. An unusual occurrence that is bringing the strongest winds to United Kingdom seen in nearly 15 years. The hurricane followed an uncommon path for hurricanes, many of which develop over the warm Atlantic waters off the west coast of Africa. Storms that form in this area swirl towards the Caribbean and the U.S., where they either make landfall or curve back out to sea. A small number have boomeranged all the way back across the Atlantic, though they are typically significantly weakened by that point. So it is rare that they get hurricanes.
Huh. Yeah, I wouldn't think they would very much. I mean, you just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
Now that said, Hawaii has a hurricane now, tropical storm.
Tropical storm now, right.
Tropical storm lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny when, and we're going to talk to our friend Chrissy after the 2 o'clock news and see how it's going out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was first writing about it for the last week, she's been writing about it, and she's hashtagging Hurricane Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't catching on that that's the name of the hurricane. I thought that maybe they call this area Hurricane Lane. Like, you know, a bunch of hurricanes.
Oh, I
come
get it.
Here.
Like traffic lane.
So it took me a while.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Like, oh,
okay.
It's named Lane. I get it. But this is the first hurricane I feel like we've talked about this year. Are we having a slow start to our hurricane season? What are we? We're August 25th.
Yeah.
By now, haven't we usually had a couple
of
depressions and things like that?
Well, we have.
Off of Africa?
I think last month we had some stuff coming through the islands.
We did?
I think so. Hurricane season. hurricane season.
All right, Mr. Google, I'm going to take a quick break.
Yeah, don't do that.
312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, you're welcome to. We've got news coming up in a few minutes on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN, 206 AM on 720. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios here in East Wacker Drive. And joining us from Hawaii is our good longtime listener and Northwestern alum, Chrissy. Hey, Chrissy, how are you this morning?
Hi, Matt. I'm doing...
Your phone just cut out. Here. You said, hi, Matt, I'm, and then it went away.
We're all right.
So you still have power.
We're doing okay so far.
All right.
Yes, we still have power.
Which island in Hawaii do you live on?
I'm on Oahu.
You are on Oahu.
Yeah.
So I'm reading a story here from the AP. Hurricane Lane weakened to a tropical storm on Friday as it headed toward the Hawaiian Islands, but it still brought torrential rains that immersed the city in waist-deep water and forced people to flee flooding homes, while others jumped off seawalls with boogie boards into the turbulent ocean. As many dealt with flooding and even brush fires, swimmers and surfers ignored warnings from authorities and plunged into powerful waves at Oahu's famed Waikiki Beach, which was closed. Have you heard of people doing this? Are you surprised by that at all?
Totally not surprised. People do that during every hurricane approach, even the ones that actually hit. So,
and then do people die, or do they know what they're doing?
I don't know that anyone has died doing that, but they definitely, I don't think it's as easy as at least some of them believe it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely puts the first responders at, in danger, because they have to go out there and help them.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue, isn't it? If you want to be an idiot and go die, that's your business, but there's first responders that are going to be forced to go try to save you, and you're putting their lives at risk.
Right.
So you're on Oahu, and it's now weakened to a tropical storm. So, you and I were texting about that. I feel bad that I'm getting disappointed about that. But you're saying what was lame is that it's called Hurricane Lane. That's a local name, Lane?
No. So because the storm originated in the eastern Pacific and not the central Pacific, it got, like, whatever name was sequential, right? Like, the previously named storm was Christy. So the next one was going to be a male name that started with L, and the one on the list was Lane. So,
yeah, that's not the most exciting name for a hurricane, is it?
It's really not. And then it also confuses people, because then they think Hurricane Lane is like a geographic area.
That's
but
what I thought the whole week. It wasn't until tonight that I started realizing that it's Hurricane Lane.
Well, I mean, I meant you, but then I just generalized several people.
I'm going to assume I wasn't the only person in the world, but I could be wrong, but we'll see. So the hurricane is weakened to a tropical storm. And so you have to feel happy about that. It's so crazy, though. I'm looking at the radar right now and the prediction that it just gets to the islands and then goes, it's almost like that's a blockade. And it's like, all right, I'll just turn left here then.
Well, it did end up happening that way. But as of at least yesterday, I think this storm has been more unpredictable than they had predicted, which sounds dumb. But so it has been unpredictable. They never expected it to strengthen to a Category 5 at any point, for example. That was not in the forecast, and it did. And it weakened kind of slowly. Once it got to today, and it started decelerating pretty quickly, but in terms of the wind speeds, but it was concerning, because if it didn't weaken enough, the trade winds that would push it away wouldn't be able to do that. So it could have been, I mean, it was bad for people on the Big Island and on Maui, but it could have been bad for Oahu if it hadn't weakened into, like, tropical storm.
And do you feel
become disorganized?
Do you feel that you are relatively in the clear now? I mean, you're going to get wind, you're going to get rain, but it's not going to turn into hurricane, craziness where you really have to worry too much about things? Or are you still, like, kind of concerned at what could happen?
Well, anything could really happen with the rain. We don't know how much rain we're going to end up getting. And And as far as the wind goes, it probably won't be too bad, they're saying, but, you know, it's already been really gusty since yesterday, and that was, it got to be a little bit scary at some points because the storm was so far away, and yet you could really feel the...
Uh-oh. Lane's coming through now. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead, Curtis?
Sure, what it...
Oh, there you are. Christy, we just lost you for the last 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, yeah. So those of us who have lived through hurricanes here previously remember what it sounds like, you know, when it sounds like the roof is going to blow off your house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good that we'll probably avoid that, but the flooding can be an issue. So...
Did you work during the day on Friday, or was everybody pretty much out of offices and hunkered down at home?
Mostly everybody, I think a lot of businesses and stuff are closed. Like there was no Starbucks and like some like McDonald's and stuff are closed. But I work at the University of Hawaii at the Cancer Center.
Cell phone service is being affected, I believe this is hurricane because we've talked to Christy now and then, and usually the phone doesn't cut out like this. And I don't know if she's coming back this time.
Oh.
There you are. Hello?
Hello?
We can hear you, Christy. Can you hear us?
I could hear you not getting in touch with me. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
Oh, I'm sure it's hurricane related, I would think. So last thing we were able to hear you say was, I work at the University of Hawaii.
And they told all the government employees, unless you're like an essential, like a first responder or something, then you can stay home Thursday and Friday, which is good because the area where I work...
Okay, let me throw Christy on hold, and if you're able to get her back for a minute, we'll take her back for a minute or two just to hear a little bit more, because I'm curious about how tourists are doing down there and what tourists are up to, if they're all just hunkered down in hotels, if people are being told don't take your trip out here right now, if people were due to come, or how that's working out, because it's kind of a big trip. You know, if you're going to Hawaii and something like, yeah, don't come right now, it's not going to be good. Well, that seems a bit rough and hard to cancel that trip at the last second. So 312-981-7200. Also, if you want to jump in, you're more than welcome to. We'll check back in with Chris here in a second on 720 WGN. When's Billy Joel coming to Wrigley? Is that this week? No, the Cubs are home right now, right?
Yeah, the Cubs are at home. I believe it's this coming week. Our Fall Out Boy is actually coming up, I think, soon, too.
Pearl Jam was just there. And
yeah,
the Cubs are home now. And I haven't seen anything on TV how the outfield looks. I know they probably got that down to a science, but they're throwing all these concerts in every summer now at Wrigley. And I just wonder, you know, the first few years they started doing that, like 5 years ago, the field would be destroyed in September, which didn't matter because they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But now it does matter.
Billy Joel is Friday, September 7th at 8 p.m. And Fall Out Boy is Saturday, September 8th at 7 p.m.
So Billy Joel's just one night. God, I'd like to go
and
see that.
The next concert will be Luke Bryan on Saturday, September 1st.
Somebody tweeted today, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, that people that love Billy Joel think they love rock and roll, but they really love show tunes. And I think that's really accurate. Billy Joel's sort of rock and roll, but really it all could be part of a musical. And there was a Billy Joel musical, and it was god-awful.
I've never seen the musical,
oh,
but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, bad. It was so bad. I forget what it was called. I feel like it had a road sign as like its logo or something, but it was bad. Oh, Christy's back on the phone, and maybe it's going to work now. I think we got a different phone line. Hey, Christy, are you there?
I did not think that moving out was bad.
It was terrible. It was one of the worst. So that was back in my producing days with John Williams, and I used to get free tickets to all the shows. It was awesome. And moving out was only, like, the only things worse, according to my wife, were the Jekyll and Hyde musical and the Titanic musical. But I thought moving out was god-awful. And I remember they were upset that it was getting reviewed badly, because this is, I want to say it was one of the shows that kind of caused the whole Broadway and Chicago thing to have some issues because a lot of times shows come here before they go to New York, and the negative reviews were upsetting to them because it was sort of like, well, this is a trial run. We're still working on it. And it's like, well, people are seeing it and paying money for it, so we're reviewing it. And I think it got some harsh reviews. I think Dean was a little rough on it, too. Mm. Come on, Chrissy. It was awful. You liked it or you thought it was okay?
I thought it was all right.
Where did you see it?
Right there in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. Yeah, it was not good. It was not good. Were you in school back then? Is this that long ago?
No.
That you were living here?
No, I was visiting.
On one of your visits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what about tourists that are there right now? Are they being told not to come if they have a trip plan? Or are they just hunkering down in the hotels? What's going on with people that aren't local?
I've seen some of them on TV just hanging out, going to the beach, even though it's closed. But it's not all of them, obviously, because
sure.
There would be more. But I don't know. I guess they're in their hotels.
It's a tough trip to cancel, but it's tough to be there during a hurricane and really, you know, not get to have the experience you were hoping for.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I think that they are disappointed when it's just like an overcast day or
that's
week
true.
There. So
that's true. It's an awful lot of money.
Well,
for an
you know,
day.
A potential hurricane is much of a bigger issue.
Slightly, yes.
You know, things happen.
Hey, so Hawaii's Little League team is in the Little League World Series Championship today. Is that talked about much locally? Are they reporting on them heavily, or is that
they were before Lane became a more pressing issue.
Hurricane,
but yeah, they have been also talking about them a little bit because they've been talking on the national media about. You know, that they hope their families at home are okay and everything.
Yeah.
So they've mentioned that.
And what a tough road for those boys because they had to go play in a regional that I imagine was in California. So they haven't been home in like 3 weeks, I would guess, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So will you be watching the game?
What time is it?
I'm pretty sure it's like at 3 o'clock Eastern. Maybe 2 o'clock Central? I think Curtis is looking that up for me right now. I'm not sure when the American Championship is. I want to say the international one's early in the day, and then the American one's a little later in the day. We'll find that out for you.
Okay.
But it sounds like you have not planned your Saturday around that.
No, I haven't.
I mean, it could be record ratings for Little League Baseball because you guys got nowhere you can go. You're all hunkered down because of a tropical storm now.
It's today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, so 2:30 p.m. Chicago time.
2:30 Chicago time. So what time is that your time on Saturday?
9:30 in the morning.
Ooh, that's early. Well, you roll out of bed and you watch some Little League Baseball. What better way to spend your Saturday morning in a hurricane?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you have enough, if you guys end up stuck in the house for like the next few days, do you have enough stuff? Did you go out and did you go to a grocery store where that was ransacked and looked like The Walking Dead?
We're always prepared for hurricane season, so we have a lot of water and Spam, of course, and other provisions.
You really do
but
stock up on Spam?
Water and Spam are like, that's the two big things, you know? Also toilet paper.
Do you?
We get it at Costco.
You have a lot of Spam in the house?
We have a ton of Spam.
Do you?
Not literally a ton, but you know.
Sure, but do you generally enjoy Spam? Like, are you okay with Spam? Or are you like, well, it's a hurricane, so whatever?
Well, I mean, I like it. I don't think it's disgusting.
Well, that's a good sign, I guess. All right, Chrissy, we're going to let you go. Stay safe. Say hi to Todd for us. When's the next time you guys are in Chicago?
Next month.
I'm assuming that's going to be like Blackhawks opening weekend or something like that?
No. No, just towards the end of the month, but the Blackhawks schedule didn't work out.
Oh, well, you're always in town
until October.
Doing something. Will you be in town for Cubs games then? Or?
Yep, there's a game. I'll be there for Albert Almora bobblehead giveaway day,
nice.
For example.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Well, check in with us. Say hi. Maybe we'll get lunch when you're in town if you are available.
Sure.
All right, Chrissy, stay safe.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Our listener, Chrissy, on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. And they're dealing now with Tropical Storm Lane. Not as exciting as it once was. Just Tropical Storm Lane. All right, 312-981-7200. If you've been trying to text us tonight, Patty accidentally knocked the text system out of whack. We can't log into it, and we can't get it reset, so we don't know what we're going to do. People at a higher pay scale than us will have to fix that when they can. But we got to go old-fashioned with it. 312-981-7200 is the number. If you want to give us a call, I'd be happy to take it. We're going to do the news, and then we're going to make Roger and all of you at home take a personality quiz. It's coming up, 720 WGN. Matt Babala with you here, 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. 227, it's gorgeous outside. Enjoy it while you can, because right now we have breaking news.
Not quite breaking. I just saw it for the first time. It came two days ago.
That means it's breaking.
All right, fine.
It's like the old NBC summer rerun.
Right.
If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
That's right.
We hadn't heard this yet, so it's breaking.
You know.
And now some breaking news.
And that's how it was back in the 60s when I was growing up. I saw all these old TV shows from the 50s, but when I watched them, I thought they were new. I didn't know they were reruns.
One of the greatest things about having kids or meeting new friends is showing them things you've already seen.
Yeah.
But you can truly enjoy them again, like through somebody else's, you know. I have a friend who just got married a few years ago because he finally ran out of people to watch Twin Peaks with.
Oh,
I think
really?
I think he stayed single as long as he did, because every time he met a new girl, he'd like watch Twin Peaks with her and like get excited all over again, because it's one of those things that, like, when it's new, it's so exciting. And then,
yeah.
So you got to keep meeting new people.
Well, here's the breaking news from Newsweek, which I'm sure was a few days behind the actual news. But NASA is saying that a 500-foot-wide asteroid approaching Earth is potentially dangerous. It's between 70 and 160 meters. Will make a close approach to Earth next week. The rocky object, referred to as 2016 NF-23, is traveling at about 20,000 miles per hour, faster than many rockets. Data from the space agency's Earth Close Approaches website indicates that the near-Earth object, or for you science people, the NEO, will come nearest to our planet on August 29th. We only have 4 more days.
Wow. And how near will it come?
Are any asteroids or comets, NEOs, any NEOs whose orbits bring it into the inner solar system within about 121 million miles of the Earth, also within about 30 million miles of Earth's orbit.
Mm-hmm. So that qualifies it as an NEO, but do we know this
right.
one, what it's going to come at?
I'm reading as at its closest approach, 2016 NF-23, for example, will be approximately 3.1 million miles away from Earth.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. If the asteroid the size of 2016 NF-23, got to give it a name better than that, did crash into our planet, it would cause significant damage on the scale of entire countries. Not to scare anyone, but...
So you're saying it could destroy a whole country?
Several.
Wherever it landed?
Several, apparently.
Wait, say the sentence again?
500 miles wide. A strike involving... let's see here. If an asteroid the size of 2016 did crash into our planet, it would cause significant damage on the scale of entire countries. A strike involving a larger asteroid, greater than 0.62 miles kilometer, more than a kilometer in diameter, would have global consequences if it crashed into Earth. Probably push the planet off its axis or out of its orbit.
So, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
That would really be crazy.
Well, yeah.
But I think we wouldn't be around to find out what that meant for Earth.
So now the odds are... The odds are, as I read on, in total, the number of known NEOs exceeds 18,000. Researchers have detected around 90% of those larger than a kilometer in size, none of which are predicted to collide with Earth. There are, however, thought to be many NEOs smaller than this that are currently unaccounted for. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, so you said at its closest, it's predicted to get about 3 million miles away?
3.1 million miles.
Okay.
Approximately.
So for reference,
yeah,
the closest the moon gets to us is about 238,000 miles from Earth.
Okay, so this is like way far away. Unless we happen to be in our orbit around the sun, happen to be at the same spot where this thing is as it's flying through, which is one in a billion, gazillion, trillion, million.
Well, it sounds like when they say that it's still labeled in the dangerous, right? Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, they're concerned.
So that
they're
means
concerned.
There must be some either. So I wonder what that means. Does that mean that A, they're saying, well, unless we screwed up the math, or are they saying this is how far away it's going to be unless something happens?
Yeah.
Like something else crashes into it or
knocks it off its route. Sure.
I wonder, is there anything else that could happen? Like, what are the, what would they list as the dangers?
Other stuff.
Like, there's other stuff that hits it that changes it.
Yeah.
Or is there, like, it falls into the gravity of something as it goes by and that changes it? Like, I wonder, what are there other forces that could sort of act upon it that change that route? Or are they confident, no, this is where it goes unless something hits it or something like that?
I think based on their best scientific NASA guesstimates, I think they're saying we're okay. But just in case, we told you so.
You know who we should call?
Ooh.
Your Space guy. Force!
Yeah,
this is a job for Space Force!
Hello, Space Force.
Curtis,
We've got a comet coming, or a rock, a big thing, and it's going to get within like 3 million miles.
We're on it.
And then, I don't know what they do, but they're you know, they're trying to figure that out, I imagine. You know, we've talked about this on the air before. Like, what are the plans for if we figure
out
what's coming?
How would they actually do it? Yeah, would they send a rocket up to explode? Would they send a crew on it? Yeah.
They don't like the idea of trying to launch a nuclear weapon up there.
Right.
Because it's too dangerous, I guess, that if that blows up on the launching pad or whatever, that's bad for all of us.
You think?
One of the ideas that they've had,
yeah,
and we've talked about on the show before, you know, and they're assuming they're finding this way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it gets within, like, it's here next week, I think they're just like, okay, we're all dead. But if we have enough time, one of the things they've talked about doing is painting it.
What, painting the asteroid?
Painting the asteroid white.
So we could see it flying towards us?
No, it was some crazy thing, like, if they painted a side of it white, and then the sun was hitting it, it would heat up, and that would change its trajectory or something like that. Like, that was an idea versus just blowing the darn thing up. Oh, God, are we late for the news?
Probably.
Yeah, we are. Okay, why don't we do that then?
Oh, well, I was going to play some space.
I know, Roger, you were thinking, well, let's not bother doing the news. We're all going to die.
No,
but
I wasn't
thinking that. They're actually saying we're most likely to survive this one.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just keep doing the news for that. All right, 2:30 in the morning-ish. Let's check the headlines, Mr. Battish. Is this something real, or did, like, John DeCoste make this up? Is that from
this is an actual video on just the internet.
Okay, so somebody made this up. Okay.
It's a theme
really?
Song sort of thing.
I thought that was going to be from an actual cartoon or something.
No.
Somebody just made this up, yeah.
Well, I had another theme that came to mind from my childhood.
Yeah.
But I know it's already been used, but I just love the theme, and I think it would be perfect for a dramatic Space Force.
Go ahead.
All right.
I have no idea what this is.
Johnny Quest.
I never watched an episode of Johnny Quest. I've never seen it.
But I love the drums. They're dramatic.
It is dramatic.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala here with you with Roger Battish in the newsroom. Curtis is behind the glass tonight for Jess. She's out. 312-981-7200 is the number. You mentioned in the news John McCain.
Yes.
So the family announced he has stopped treatment.
Yes.
For his brain cancer, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what he has technically? Mm-hmm. His brain
radiation
cancer?
Treatment.
He stopped treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they announced that because the end is very near? Do we know, like...
Well, we really haven't heard any further details from them other than he's stopped medical treatment.
But
I have not seen anything. Let me
Since his family announced this, a lot of accolades,
Here's what the family says. Okay. All right. They claimed the progress of disease and the inexorable advance of age render their verdict, meaning stopping the treatments. With his usual strength of will, he has now chosen to discontinue medical treatment. He will turn 82 next week. So I think probably what they're saying is, with the advancement of the disease and his age and his physical capabilities to battle the disease, even with the treatments,
right,
it's just not going in a positive direction.
The interesting thing is we don't know what that means. I mean, you remember Jimmy Carter, a couple of years ago, least we were worried was going to pass soon,
right,
because of cancer.
But his was not brain cancer. And again, you know, when someone has brain cancer, it depends on the person. It depends on the cancer. Cancer is not the same in every situation necessarily. It depends on the person. It depends on the treatment. It depends on one's previous conditions, your age, a whole bunch of stuff.
Sure. But when the Jimmy Carter news came out, it was reported favorably.
No, not at all.
He had months to live,
yeah,
and here he is still building houses.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if he has stopped treatments, if he finished his treatments or not, or if he's still undergoing treatment.
Yeah, and I don't know either. I haven't read much on that lately, but I just saw a picture of him last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was recent or not, but of him doing Habitat for Humanity stuff still.
He hasn't stopped.
I assume he is. So, John McCain, we don't know what the
prognosis.
You know, the prognosis. Well, the prognosis is bad.
Well, right.
We just don't know. Does he have, is this, and now he only has a few months to live, or is it we're going to stop and just see what happens, and whatever happens, happens, and maybe it's months up to a year, or who knows?
Yeah, who knows what happens?
We haven't heard that.
But it sounds from that quote that he has made that decision.
To stop the treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the family who said, Dad,
right,
you can't do it.
Do you know, Roger, because I know that there was a vote, I don't even remember what on, if it was a health care
vote. Oh, the one where he turned
his
thumb down?
Well, he arrived in Washington for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were other votes more recently that he didn't make it back for. Has he been back in Washington at all?
Oh, since that vote?
I know that
I think he has been in Washington.
I mean, I don't think we have any photos.
Not recently. Not recently, because he's been undergoing the treatments. Let's see here. His daughter, Meghan McCain, co-host of ABC's The View, announced last week she would spend the next several weeks at home with her family.
Well, I wonder if that means that then they think that.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So here's my question, or here's my hope.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my hope. When John McCain does pass,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have to have agreed with him politically. I know a mm-hmm lot of people are really unhappy with him politically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's hard not to have, despite your political leanings, a measure of respect for the man, because he served for a long time. He served his country very honorably, was a prisoner of war, went through a lot. I mean, suffered as a prisoner of war. And then he served as a politician. He ran for president. Whether or not you respect his politics, and some people love his politics and some don't. For those that don't, here's two things, though, that you have to respect about him. One is his service to the country.
Yes.
The other would be, for sure, I would say, when he was running against President Obama,
mm-hmm,
and so he was running. So who ran against Obama for his second term? How have I forgotten this?
Oh, man, he had breakfast with President Trump at the golf course. where he kind of had to come back and say, you know, I'm sorry I said all those bad things during the campaign about you. Isn't it his daughter, the press secretary?
Mike Huckabee?
No. Huckabee was running, but he was not the one who ran against...
Who was the candidate for president when Obama ran for re-election? You're not on.
I'm sorry, Mitt Romney.
There you go.
Mitt Romney, okay.
Yeah. Remember, and Romney...
He's running for Senate again now.
Yeah.
In Utah. Okay, so Romney was second. So first time around, it was McCain versus Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the videos they keep showing, because there was a lot of... slandering of President Obama at the time. He wasn't president yet, but Senator Obama at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman at one of those town halls they do where they take questions who was talking about Senator Obama being a one of those Muslims. And McCain cuts her off and he says, listen, that's not true. He's not. He's a good man. He's an honorable man. We disagree politically, but we're not going to do that. And he cut that crap off, that crap that now is just encouraged night after night at these rallies. John McCain said, we're not going to do it that way.
Right.
He's a good person. We disagree politically. And he kept a civil discourse going.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that very much.
Just real quick on the type of brain cancer. I hope I say this right. Glioblastoma, an aggressive type of brain cancer, prognosis generally poor. It was the same cancer Senator Ed Kennedy had, and he survived less than 15 months after it was found. Brain tumor experts said that because prognosis for glioblastoma patients is so poor, many patients eventually face the difficult decision of when to end treatment. Again, this is from the Washington Post. So
okay. So here's my hope that when, and you know, this was a big hullabaloo about 2 months ago, I want to say, when for whatever reason, McCain's camp announced his plans for his funeral and they stated publicly that they do not want President Trump to be there.
Right.
Which was unnecessary. So I don't know why they exactly did that except to kind of stick it to President Trump, which fine. If they want to do that, that's fine. But then people got all mad at President Trump for what he said afterwards. I don't even remember what it was. And I defended President Trump at the time. It's like, they leaked this out. So you can't, I mean, you know who President Trump is. If somebody leaks out something like being mean to him, of course he's going to say something back. So I didn't, you know, well, you'd like him to react better at certain things. It's not surprising at all that he had some bad reaction to that. And so most recently, wasn't it just last week, there was some bill that President Trump signed that I believe was a John McCain bill. Like they were saying this was McCain's bill to protect veterans or something, something, something. Trump signed it, didn't mention McCain at all. So that was the most recent snub.
And he was just at a rally. Trump had a rally two nights ago.
I think he had one again on Friday night, didn't he?
Yeah, then it was Friday night and reports saying that even with the news that John McCain stopped treatments, that he didn't say anything about him, good or bad.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't say anything.
Yeah. The reports about the funeral plans is that H.W. Bush was going to give a eulogy, and George W. Excuse me, and President Obama. They're planning to have it at National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. They wish for President Trump to skip the funeral, but they wanted Vice President Pence. He was okay to attend.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well,
but I mean, I understand.
But he
that,
knows
you know,
Pence from Congress.
Pence was a governor of Indiana. Was he in Congress?
I think he may have served. Let me double check.
Anyways.
But
so,
he would have known him longer than President Trump.
Maybe.
As in the political world.
Sure. Either way, he came out and said, we don't want him there. And I like what they have planned. I like George W. and President Obama both speaking. I think that's neat. Here's the thing that I hope happens. I hope that President Trump finds within himself the, I don't know what, not the courage, but the moral compass to say, you know what, I'm going to be the bigger man. If he would just do that once in a while, things would be a lot better around here. All he has to do is tweet, "We lost an American hero today. John McCain and I disagreed on a lot, but I realize now we can all agree on one thing. He was a great American. He served his country honorably, and America will miss him greatly."
Yeah.
If he just tweeted that instead of being a jackass, just this once, how great would that be for him?
It would be huge.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And not make it, despite the hundreds of thousands of jobs, and despite the fact that I've done all these amazing things,
he
wasn't nice. Yeah.
But do you think that's possible?
I think it is possible for anybody.
Well, anybody.
To stop for a minute and say, you know what? I mean, I'll give President Trump this. How about the tweet this week after Cohen copped his deal?
Mm-hmm.
President Trump's tweet something like, "If there's anybody out there looking for a lawyer, I advise you not to retain the services of Michael Cohen." How about that?
What about that?
It was funny. It was humorous. It sort of was taking a shot at himself, which he never does. I mean, that was, I can't imagine he wrote it. Maybe somebody talked him into it. I mean, that was interesting. That was different. That wasn't self-serving. That wasn't, you know, taking
in a way
at somebody.
It was
not really
in a way.
It was just poking fun at it more than anything.
I don't think he pokes fun for fun's sake at anything. I think he pokes fun out of anger.
He has all those other tweets where he does that. This was this one like anomaly where it was just sort of, isn't that funny that he wrote that?
Pence was in the House.
He was. Okay.
And started in 2000.
All right. So John McCain undoubtedly knows him a little better and likes him a lot more, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, one would think that you would have a representative, if not the president, you would have a high ranking representative from the president's office.
And that's fine.
There's
lots of people who could attend instead of the president. Presidents aren't always required. You could ask for Melania to attend.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anyone.
But this is my hope, that President Trump finds within himself the ability to be the bigger person just one time and do that. That would be the most presidential thing he has done since he's taken office, as far as decorum and things like that.
Yeah.
Just be really nice for him, not to make it about himself, not to make it about the fight. Just say, you know, I mean, he needs to acknowledge. He doesn't need to bring it up again that he said, I like my heroes not to get captured. That was the stupidest thing he could have said. But I understand he was in a fight for the presidency and McCain wasn't speaking well of him. So, of course, he's going to attack him because that's what he does. You know, President Trump is like is kind of like a junkyard dog. You know, if he feels threatened at all in any way or somebody's not nice to him, he bites right away. He's not making friends with anybody. If you aren't nice to him, if you're not loyal, if you're not all these things, he's going after you, and he's got no qualms about that.
And he's done that all his life. It's been documented
that's
the kind of real estate person that he was, and that's how he conducted business.
312-981-7200. Quick break, more to come, and news on 720 WGN. Matt Bravalo with you here, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. 312-981-7200. All right, I've been promising this quiz forever, so let's get at it. Roger Badish, do you have a pen and scorecard ready?
Oh, geez, now I got to get a pen? All right, hold on a second.
Well, I guess you don't have to.
Just a minute.
I'll write things down. All right, here's a 9-point quiz.
All right, I'm here.
See here how you have
He's
to answer. Gonna,
this is why I hate test taking. Goodness
right,
gracious.
So I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Do you strongly agree?
Okay. Hold on. S-A.
You have five choices here.
God. All right.
No, four choices. Strongly agree.
Mm-hmm.
Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Or strongly disagree.
Got it.
With these statements.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready. Oh, man, I hope I can go home after this.
What?
I hope my wife will let me back in the house.
She's not listening.
You're right, she's not.
Thank you. Okay. Let's, so, you're going to answer to okay. each of these statements, Roger.
All right, here we go.
And folks, oh, listening at home.
Uh-huh, go ahead, go ahead.
Well, you go ahead.
Well, do you want me to give my answer after each one, or?
Yeah.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
I'm going to keep score.
Okay, okay.
Curtis, I want you to write down your answers, too.
Okay, will do.
And listeners at home, if you're awake, if you've got a pen, you can write something down. I want you to keep your score, too. I want you to score yourself and answer these and keep track, okay?
How many did you say, 10?
There are 9 questions.
9 questions.
Your answers will be strongly agree.
Got it.
Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Disagree. Or strongly disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Number one. It is hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there. Number one. It is hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there. Would you strongly agree? Agree. Disagree. Or strongly disagree?
I disagree.
Disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two. I like to use clever manipulation to get my way. I like to use clever manipulation to get my way.
Strongly disagree.
Okay. Number three.
Mm-hmm.
People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it upon themselves. People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it on themselves.
It's a trick question. I'm saying strongly disagree.
Okay. Number four. I know that I am special because everyone keeps telling me so.
Strongly disagree.
Number five. I honestly feel I'm more deserving than others. I can honestly say I'm more deserving than other people.
Strongly disagree.
Number six. I'll say anything to get what I want.
Strongly disagree.
Number seven. Hurting people would be exciting.
Strongly disagree.
Number eight. I try to make sure that others know about my successes.
No, disagree.
Two. And number nine. It is sometimes worth a little suffering on my part to see others see the punishment they deserve.
Say that again.
It is sometimes worth a little suffering on my part to see that others receive the punishment that they deserve.
Strongly disagree.
Okay.
So, there.
Now, before we talk about what this is mm-hmm. and reveal your answers.
Okay.
Curtis, did you keep along?
I did.
Okay. So how did you answer? Did you answer the same as Roger on almost all those, or were you a little bit different?
For the most part, Roger and I were pretty much question for question, except for a few of them.
Which ones did you answer differently than Roger?
Number one, I said agree. Number eight, I said agree. Number nine, I said disagree. The rest, Roger and I matched answer for answer.
Two through seven, then we did strongly disagree on all of those. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so you were three more than Roger. Okay. If anybody wants to call in and share their answers real quick, 312-981-7200. Be happy to talk to you real quick. Let's assume that we are Donald Trump taking this.
Okay.
So let's do this again. It is hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there.
He would strongly agree.
I don't know that he would strongly agree. Let's just give him an agree.
All right.
Because especially in real estate and things like that, yeah. Getting a project done on time, things like that. I'm going to give him, he'd have to say, yeah, you know, it's hard to get ahead without doing that.
All right.
I like to use clever manipulation to get my way.
Strongly agree.
You can't just say strongly agree to everyone, Roger.
Hey, you're asking me? If you want to answer it, you go ahead. If you want me to answer, I'm giving you the answer that I think he might give.
Number three. Okay. People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it on themselves.
I'll go agree.
I think he would have to say agree, because like you look at the immigrants that are getting family separated. He would say, hey, they came to the country illegally. They should. Ooh. Roger, there's huge lightning outside.
It's the flash camera. Stop
oh
it and give me.
Oh, my God. There's real no lightning. No. People are calling. Roger, there's real lightning outside.
All right, you know what? I can't turn around and talk on the microphone.
That's fine. I don't need you to talk. You just look out the window till you believe me. Come back when you believe me. Scold him. Number four. I know that I'm special because everyone keeps telling me so. Now, that would be tough for President Trump, I think, to strongly agree with, because not everyone, I don't think, keeps telling him so. Certain people probably keep telling him so, but he's hearing from a lot of people that he's not that special, too. So
yeah.
That's a tougher one.
I think that'd probably for him be more on the agree side.
Yeah, I think he's going to go agree. Number five, I honestly feel I'm just more deserving than others. I think he'd have to say agree with that, too, right? I'll say anything to get what I want. Now, I don't know that he believes that he does that, but he does kind of do that, right? I'm going to give him, I think he would say I disagree. I say the truth. Hurting people would be exciting. I'm going to say, no, I strongly disagree with that. I try to make sure others know about my successes. I think he would agree with that. And he would even say, you have to let people know. I think that's kind of his mantra. In interviews, he said that before, that people have to know, you know, who you are and what you do. It's sometimes worth a little suffering on my part to see others receive the punishment they deserve. I think he'd have to agree with that. He would get a really high score on this. All right, so Roger got a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Roger had 11.
11 what? Points?
Yeah, I gave you, so if you had strongly agree, it was a 4. Strongly disagree, it was a 1. So there's a 4-point sliding scale there.
All right, so
Roger,
you had
11 points. Curtis had 14 points. And this is out of a possible of 36 points, right? 36 points would be the highest.
Okay.
Roger had an 11, which is 2 points off the lowest.
Is that good or bad?
So 36 would be the highest score you could have had. 9 would have been the lowest score you could have had. You had an 11.
Okay.
And Curtis had a 14. I scored... Did you see the lightning, by the way?
All right. So there is...
There's a really big traffic light that's...
I can't look out the window and talk at the same time. So
you were looking out the window, and what did we see, Roger?
I saw in the clouds, high in the sky...
Just what was it?
Lightning.
Thank you.
According to the real-time lightning map, there is 2 lines of lightning... stretching from South Elgin, northeast over the lake, Northbrook Highland Park, Lake Forest, Wilmette. Then there's another line from about Aurora, north part of Aurora, northeast through Lincolnwood and that part of the far north side of Chicago. There's a lot going on right now over Lake Michigan. You wanted to know? I got you the news.
Thank you, Roger.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for acknowledging when you were wrong.
I was wrong. Mm-hmm. It's lightning.
Okay, so the high score on this would have been a 36. The lowest score possible is a 9. Roger had an 11. Curtis had a 14. The way I scored President Trump, he would have had a 27.
What would you have had?
You know what? I didn't exactly take it because I knew what it was. So I think that manipulates your answers a little bit.
Oh, okay. You know? Oh, I gotcha. Okay. You had already read the whole thing through before. Okay.
Here's the story that goes with it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what reputable IQ test you take, where you take it, or what you had for breakfast the day you sat down to get your intelligence measured. Whatever the circumstances of the exam, your score is likely to be pretty close to the same. That, psychologists explain, is because of the G factor, a generalized level of cognitive skill we all have that largely holds steady across our lives and across different areas of intelligence, verbal, quantitative, or spatial. New research has found the same thing is true of evilness.
Yeah.
In a fascinating new Scientific American article, psychologist and author Scott Barry Kaufman explains the recent discovery of the D factor, or darkness factor. Humans might each have their own flavor of evilness. Some are narcissists obsessed with their own specialness. Some are psychopaths who fail to feel others' pain. Others, creeps, are sadists who downright enjoy it. But all these traits have a common core, a research team from Germany and Denmark found. Underlying all these dark traits is the basic tendency to maximize one's own utility at the expense of others, accompanied by beliefs that serve as justifications for one's malevolent behaviors, according to the researchers. Or, in brief, all evilness stems from a willingness to sacrifice other people's well-being for your own satisfaction. The researchers further broke down evilness into 9 component parts, from Machiavellianism.
That's easy for you
to say. Entitlement to spitefulness, which you can read all about in Kaufman's in-depth article. But the bottom line idea is that evilness, like IQ, is a single trait that can be consistently measured. Helpfully, Kaufman provides a 9-point quiz to give you a sense of your own D factor. Or if you suspect people in your life are having a seriously dark core, you can try to imagine how they'd answer each question. It's not scientific in the slightest, but it is satisfying. The 9-item test should be sufficient to estimate a reasonable degree where you would score on the D factor. The more you are in strong agreement with multiple items on the scale, the higher the likelihood you would score high on the D factor.
Okay.
So, Roger, you are very low on the evilness scale. Congratulations.
Oh. I'm
proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
You did very well. Curtis, we're going to keep a little eye on you.
Jeez.
You're in trouble now, Chris.
Is that what all these new cameras are for here?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But honestly, President Trump would score kind of high on that thing. Let's not send that to
all right,
him.
All right, now, but give this to every politician. And then hook them up to a lie detector test.
But it's not, I don't see it as like, oh, these politicians. It's hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there.
But wouldn't politicians... I served in government for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. I dealt with a lot of politicians. A lot of them are extremely nice people. Even those that were arrested and sent away to jail for doing things they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But I think there are a large enough amount of politicians who would score very poorly on this little test.
Meaning they'd get a high score?
They'd get a high score because by its nature, you are always running for re-election.
Okay, let's do this. You are always running for re-election, and I think that there is a certain sacrifice they make to their morals at some point, generally, for most of them.
I think so.
Let's do this, though. We did it for Trump.
Okay.
Let's do it for, let's think about the other side. Let's do it for Blagojevich.
Well, he's already in jail.
He is. But think about this. Let's think about how he would answer.
He's already answered strongly agreed on all of these convicted and he's in jail.
A, he claims he's innocent. B, I don't think that his conviction on that necessarily makes him evil.
All right, take the phone call.
Okay.
That phone call where he's making a deal about the seat.
Right.
And then listen to all his answers and all his summations, his thoughts, and use that as the answers to these questions.
No, let's answer as if we were him. It is hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there.
He would say,
hey, as a politician, you got to do these things. You got to blah, 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 blah. He'd say, yeah. I strongly agree.
Yeah.
I like to use clever manipulation to get my way. He would strongly agree with that, too. People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it on themselves. I think he would disagree with that because he did fight for the elderly, for the poor, blah, blah, blah. I know that I'm special because
that was politically advantageous.
Whether it was or not, I don't think I only met him once and chatted with him and stuff, but I don't think he would say, yeah, those people deserve what they have coming to them. I think that he did fight for poor people. He did fight for the lower class. He did fight for those things. I don't think, no, they're there because they deserve to be there. I don't think he would say that. I know that I'm special because everyone keeps telling me so.
Well, that comes with being a politician. Everyone tells you you're great.
I know, but see, so there's an interesting thing with that, though.
It's how much do you believe it?
Yeah, I know that I'm special because everyone keeps telling me so. I only gave
Blagojevich.
And I gave Trump a 3 on that, and I might mark it lower because I do think they have an awareness that
it comes with the territory.
Well, the people telling it, they don't necessarily. I know I got a bunch of yes men around me. I think there's an awareness of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it said, I know that I'm special because I'm better than most people, I think then they would strongly agree. Like Trump would totally strongly agree if it was that. But because everyone keeps telling me so, I think he'd be like, I pay these people. Of course they're telling me so.
All right. Well, how about the general public? It's not just the people working for you. How about the general public
as
you go through
the
crowds? The
general public walking around telling Blagojevich how special he was.
Well, but you, as a politician, pretty much you're not going to go into a gathering of people who don't like you. The people who like you are going to come to your gatherings and they're all going to say, we love you. You're special. You're great.
Probably. But he's also been through the fires enough to know that not everybody thinks that way. So for I know all that right. I'm special because everyone keeps telling me so I only gave it a disagree.
Okay.
A two. All right. I honestly feel I'm just more deserving than others. I think that Blago would think, hey, I worked really hard. I think I deserve blah, blah, blah. I give him a three. Right. I'll say anything to get what I want. Yeah, he would have to strongly agree with that. There's no way around that. Hurting people would be exciting. See, I think he would strongly disagree with that. I try to make sure others know about my successes. Blago definitely would give that a four.
Sure.
It is sometimes worth a little suffering on my part to see others receive the punishment they deserve. He wasn't like a guy like that, so I think he would give that a disagree at least. So he would get 8, 9, 10, 11, 14, 18, 19, 23, 25. He would get a 25, just 2 points less than President Trump on that. So I think we have politicians out there who definitely fit Anthony Wieners of the world and people who this guy in California, who's him and his wife were blowing the money like crazy. And then he's blaming his wife for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying we can't live on the $170,000.
Yeah, right. I'd like to not be able to live on $170,000.
We all would. All right. 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break. We'll chat with Mark in a second here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Mark's on the phone from Aurora at 312-981-7200. Hey, Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty well. I want to elaborate on a comment that Roger made and then also go to a second point that's related. The point that what Roger said, that there are many politicians who are likable. Some would argue that that's exactly what narcissism does, because a con artist will charm the socks off of people. But I would argue that another narcissist is a deliberate provocateur, and we see a lot of that from Trump. And then the second point is that there's a lot of narcissists are intelligent enough to skew their own test results based on the image that they want to create. And in fact, there's one personality test that claims to measure that. It has what's known as a fake good and a fake bad scale. And it tries to assess whether you're giving honest answers or not. I don't know how accurately it does that, but so those things have to be taken into account too.
Well, it makes sense because the way this one is written, I mean, anybody with half a brain can see through how they're answering this. I enjoy seeing other people be hurt. Well, of course, you're going to know better than to answer that and be like, well, yeah, I really do like that. You're not going to answer that honestly.
Right, right. So it's it might be a good idea and politically relevant to read The Prince by Machiavelli and see what it actually says about what it means to be Machiavellian.
Yeah, that's interesting. We always hear that term, and I don't truly have any idea what the true meaning behind that is. I'll be honest.
I think that it essentially means that you rule people. People don't have to respect me. People don't have to like me. They just have to respect me. And I wouldn't agree with that either. In fact, I'm about to go to a reunion on Wednesday for a junior high music teacher whose students both liked him and respected him. So I don't think the two are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, I don't think they have to be either. But we do hear a lot more of that rhetoric these days than ever before.
The dictionary definition is an adjective, Machiavellian, cunning, scheming, and unscrupulous, especially in politics or in advancing one's career.
Well, that names the two guys we were just talking about, doesn't it?
Wah, wah.
Mark, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200, 3:30 in the morning. Let's get some headlines, Mr. Baddish. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Hanging out with you till 5 in the morning when Max and Orion are along with the morning show. Real quick, Justin Verlander and the Tigers, I don't know if they're, are they in LA to play the Dodgers right now? I don't know if they are or not, but people have been tweeting about this, and there was a great story online tonight about this. So Justin Verlander was in a restaurant in Los Angeles. He was at the Cabana Cafe at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And this was on the 24th of August. So the Tigers must be there playing the Dodgers, I guess. Unless they're in town playing the Angels.
Who did you say?
Justin Verlander.
The Tigers?
I'm sorry, that's right. He's not with the Tigers anymore. He's with the Astros. Are the Astros in town to play the Dodgers right now? Or no, the Astros, I think I saw this before I left tonight. The Astros were playing the Angels, I think. I think they're down in Anaheim.
Four games today. Who did you say? The Astros? Astros and Angels.
Astros and Angels. So they're in Los Angeles.
Yesterday, 9-3, Astros beat them.
Okay. So Verlander. Now, maybe the Astros are staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I don't know. Maybe since he's married to supermodel Kate Upton, they like to hang out in Beverly Hills, and he was there for whatever reason. On the 24th of August, so on Friday, Justin Verlander at 11:43 a.m. Los Angeles time was having a little breakfast.
Okay.
And he got his bill at the Cabana Cafe. He had one latte skim, add vanilla syrup. What do you think that's running at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Well, it's about $5 just for the syrup.
A latte skim, add vanilla syrup is $9.
Okay, what did I say? There you go. $5 just for the flavoring.
What do you think one cranberry juice is?
Would you say the latte was $9?
Yeah.
Cranberry juice, probably about $4.
One cranberry juice, $10.
What? That's a big glass of cranberry juice.
Beverly Hills Hotel, baby.
There you go. It's gold around the edge of the cup, I think.
Green Envy.
What the heck's
I'm going to assume
envy?
That's like a smoothie, right? Probably a health smoothie.
All right.
That's what I would assume.
All right.
What do you think a Green Envy's running at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Oh, my God. $30.
$20.
Close.
One McCarthy salad.
Man, he's eating healthy.
I don't know. And I'm assuming he's with Kate, who I think is pregnant.
All right, so if the smoothie was $20 and he's got a McCarthy salad, now this is more
I've never heard of a McCarthy salad. Is that a particular type of salad?
Well, it's more than a regular salad because it's got someone's name on it.
That's true.
So a McCarthy salad, I would have to say, is $40.
$42.
Ah, bam!
For a McCarthy.
I'm getting better at this.
What would two eggs any style with meat cost?
Two eggs any style with meat?
Yes.
Well, if the salad was $42, the eggs have got to with meat have got to be I'd say $54.
See, they surprised you on that one. It was only $28 for the two eggs.
They're using cheap eggs then.
They're not farm free, cage fresh.
No, whatever. Not at all. No.
One order of pancakes.
Well, how many do you get in an order?
I don't know. I'm going to assume it's a regular stack, probably three wide ones.
Three wide?
Maybe four.
Okay. They charge extra for the butter and syrup?
Does not say. Just says one order pancakes.
$35.
$30. And then they got a second McCarthy salad.
Well, see, so they're both, what, he couldn't share with her? They had to order her own?
He had the pancakes and eggs. That would be enough to cover it.
Unless she got hungry again and said, I'll have another McCarthy.
So the bill for brereakfast.
What is it, about $150?
$172. $172.
That's with tax, right?
That's before tax.
Oh, before tax.
Yeah, before tax.
Holy smokes!
Now, Justin's server at the Cabana Cafe was Sonny L.
Sonny L.
Yeah, that's what it says on the receipt. Sonny L.
Hi. What else can I get you?
Sonny L. seemed to have a sense of humor.
Oh.
Because Sonny L. added one more thing onto his bill.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I saw this story.
This is sounding like trouble.
It's listed as open miscellaneous, but then he wrote underneath in the little note you could put on there, Dodger killer. Because Justin Verlander knocked the Dodgers out of the World Series, Astros in the World Series last year.
Yeah.
Against the Dodgers. Dodgers don't win the World Series. Astros do, right?
Okay, but I don't understand why he wrote that on the bill, and it's miscellaneous.
Well, because they don't have Dodger killer as a special, and he wanted to charge him for ruining the Dodger season last year.
Oh, how much did he charge him extra?
$1 million.
Whoa.
So he handed him a bill, and it's funny. His bill came to, I forgot the latte skim. So his bill was actually $181.
There you go.
So when he handed him the check, It was for a million. Well, the subtotal was $1,181,000.
Did they figure the tax on $1 million?
The tax on $1,181,000 in L.A. would be $95,017.20. So he gave him a total bill of $1,095,198.20.
What did Verlander say? Put it on my tab?
He tweeted, and he laughed about it. He was good about it. He said, man, that Super Bowl, that World Series ring is costing me here in L.A.
That is hilarious.
That's really funny.
It is.
That's a good waiter right there.
Yeah.
I bet he got a good tip.
Yeah.
Or maybe, what if Verlander just
maybe he's looking for a new job now, too. Who knows?
I want him fired. I'm not tipping. I'm not even paying for that McCarthy salad.
Which one?
One of them. I don't know which
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right.
That's a good question.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Yes.
All right. I gotta look this up. McCarthy salad.
Well, you're going to let us know.
I got a Beverly Hills Hotel's legendary Polo Lounge McCarthy salad. Ooh, from Parade Magazine. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing in it.
It's just a green salad?
Oh, my God. It's been on the menu. Is a legendary old Hollywood spot. The hotel's Polo Lounge has served this chopped salad since the 1940s when it was created for frequent guest and local polo player Nell McCarthy. It's been on the menu ever since. The hotel serves nearly 600 McCarthy salads each week. It's similar to the Cobb salad. Don't call me now. I'm looking up salad recipes. Please.
Roger's on salads, people.
We got balsamic vinegar, extra virgin olive oil, Dijon mustard. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
But of course.
Garlic clove, seasoned to taste, 12 ounces iceberg lettuce, finely chopped, 12 ounces hearts of romaine, finely chopped, watercress, finely chopped, red beets, cheddar cheese, applewood smoked bacon, cooked and finely chopped. Three hard-boiled eggs, peeled finely chopped. A lot of finely chopped.
Three eggs in one salad?
Yeah.
See, it's worth $42.
Yeah. Wait, half a pound of grilled chicken breast and one large vine-ripened tomatoes, peeled, seeded, and diced, and then one avocado peeled and sliced.
Oh, my God. Answer that phone. Somebody's urgent.
I know. Hold on.
All right. I'm going to take a call, too, while you're doing that. 312-981-7200. Donna's called in from Oakland this morning. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I'm one subject behind. I was talking about your Blagojevich assessment.
Sure.
And I strongly disagree. The man's been in jail for God knows how long now, and he still doesn't see that he did anything wrong. Now, it's a narcissist or an egoist or somebody whose morals are just a little bit lacking, but I think he's far more highly rated than your 25 was.
Well, do you think that because you're in jail, you automatically have to say that I clearly did something wrong? I think there's a lot of people in jail who feel they were improperly put there, don't you?
That might be, but I think considering what Blagojevich was put in jail for, any person who knew that he was being listened to and taped would have backed off on his conversations. But Blagojevich said that he had to do that. That was what all politicians do. And like I said, he still doesn't see that he did anything wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. He does not. He thinks he was jobbed by the system and it was a political job and all those things. He does not believe he did anything wrong. Donna, I think if he gets that pardon, by the way, what happened to the pardon for Rob Blagojevich? We all had a pardon going. Patty's appearing on Fox News. I thought that was going to happen. I don't know why it's been delayed.
I think Trump's waiting in the wings to see how many of his good working buddies, Manafort and such what, personal attorneys might need to pardon
some of those pardons.
Blagojevich.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you so much for calling in, Donna. We appreciate it. Raj, have you heard anything lately about the Blagojevich pardon? I mean, Trump
I have not
said,
heard a thing since
said,
Patty, went on that
Fox News.
The Fox News went on tweets. Was hoping to get the president.
Blagojevich got an op-ed, right. I think, in the Wall Street Journal.
Right. Right.
I mean, they did all the right things to get the president's attention.
Right.
And he even said he was looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was imminent, but
I have heard nothing.
Yeah, that's
nothing at all. It just kind of was going and going, and then just faded away.
I wonder what distracted him, or what, you know, or if somebody inside.
Well, I don't
said,
know.
You know.
What do you think?
Well, I know things do all the time, but
I know.
But I wonder if somebody.
Well,
said
and also,
to him,
it was at a time where he had started to pardon a couple people.
Yeah,
it was at that same
boxer,
time. Yeah, yeah,
Kim
yeah.
Kim Kardashian pardoned mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah, so they thought they would like strike while the iron was hot. He was already in the mood, and so they thought they'd kind of get some publicity going and try to get his attention. Then he stopped doing pardons, and then
yeah.
we didn't hear anything more about the Blagojevich thing.
Maybe it will come back at some point.
Yeah, it could be. I just love watching this lightning strike, man. I really do. We've got some now up in Libertyville, North Chicago.
So they're putting in more red light cameras now?
No. The lightning strike map, not the red light map.
He's teasing you, Roger, because you didn't believe we were seeing lightning in the sky. You kept saying those are the red light cameras.
Because I've stood up here and watched those things flashing at me, and I've seen the flash behind me, and I've turned around to see what it was, and it was those things. It was the flashing, because people are running the red lights over on Columbus Drive. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Roger.
Really? Some people are reporting that the lightning strikes out where they live are very loud also. So
well, that wouldn't be the lightning. That would be the thunder.
Well, you're loving that one, aren't you? You are just loving.
That's a 3:50 in the morning joke, everybody. 312-981-7200.
I've got my hands full of stuff here.
What do you have?
Well, I just had that caller, which if I had been paying attention, I would have. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
So, President Trump has called off the... So, Secretary of State Pompeo
mm-hmm.
was supposed to head back to Korea in a couple of days,
right.
North Korea, for the next round of talks. President Trump canceled it.
Yep.
Through Twitter.
And he's blaming, in part, he's blaming China.
Yeah. Which, I'm not... I don't think that any of this doesn't necessarily make sense. The president has taken a hardline stance on trade with China.
True.
And that's getting a little harried.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see what he tweeted out here most recently. Oh, he did this. So he did this way earlier today, 15 hours ago, it says.
Yeah.
I've asked Secretary of State Mike Pompeo not to go to North Korea at this time because I feel we're not making sufficient progress with respect to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Additionally, because of our much tougher trading stance with China, I do not believe they are helping with the process of denuclearization as they once were, despite the UN sanctions which are in place. Secretary Pompeo looks forward to going to North Korea in the near future, most likely after our trading relationship with China is resolved. In the meantime, I would like to send my warmest regards and respect to Chairman Kim. I look forward to seeing him soon! Exclamation point. It is weird how he handles people from other countries who generally we, you know, I mean, our past presidents have refused to meet with Kim because mm-hmm. they don't want to legitimize him. And not only have we legitimized him, we're sending our kindest, warmest regards, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, did photo ops with him. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shook hands, smiled, laughed a little bit. Yeah.
Seeing what else he's been tweeting about. Vince McMahon from WWE. From World Wrestling. He tweeted a happy birthday to him 5 hours ago.
Man. Hey, there's. I hear that McMahon is going to retire.
He's 73.
Yeah.
Boy, I wouldn't have thought that. All right, we got a couple of calls from Jack and Lulu. We'll take that in a minute after we do this on 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you, 720 WGN, 356 AM, news in 4 minutes. A couple of callers on the line. Hold on for a second. Lulu, first we'll take Jack in Wisconsin. Hey, Jack, you're on 720 WGN.
Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is.
So far, yeah. Is there lightning out where you are?
No, I'm heading back to Lake Geneva. I'm a retired attorney, and I'm working as a limo driver, so just have a nice, lonely drive and enjoying the sights. I'd like to bring a little perspective, if I could, to tying in both Blagojevich and Trump.
Okay.
And that is, I've reviewed the Rod Blagojevich thing quite thoroughly. I have no doubt that he violated a number of laws, including essentially shaking down Children's Hospital in Chicago. I mean, that seems to be one of the strong ones. The situation where it ties in with Trump, though, is the methods the U.S. attorney did to convict Blagojevich. And I'm talking to someone who's opposed U.S. attorneys. I'm also talking to someone that was subject to an investigation by a U.S. attorney in the FBI.
Okay.
Blagojevich, they used his brother as leverage, Robert Blagojevich, despite the fact his brother was not directly involved in any illegal activities, and actually took him to trial, and his brother actually was not convicted in a multiple-count federal trial. And I don't know if you realize how rare that is. And if you look at it, and again, I'm not trying to cast dispersions or anything on anyone, there was probably someone else in his family other than his brother who was closer to all the illegality. But the reason they didn't charge him or her was because it doesn't look good to charge two members of the same family. And I think this is the situation where Trump looks at is that the tactics being used are improper. And I would tell you this, anyone who's ever being investigated always thinks the tactics are improper, whether they are or they're not.
Sure. With Blagojevich, you're referring to Patty or to his father-in-law?
Well, I think his father, quite frankly, and I'm not going to say this, his father is a very skilled and wily politician.
His father-in-law, right?
I think his father knows what the limits were, or his father-in-law, rather, yeah, knows what the limits were. Patty, I think, from what I can see, I don't see her conduct as any different than his, other than the fact she was not an elected official.
Right.
So, again, you look at the history of the U.S. attorney in all areas, and you have a case in Illinois a couple years ago where they literally left someone on death row for a period of time just so they could secure other convictions despite the fact they knew he was innocent. Mm. It's a motorcycle man out in McHenry County. Okay. These are the situations, and again, I supported Trump in the election. I think he's a piece of work, I will put it that way, but I don't fall in love with my politicians. The only one I fall in love with is my wife, and all I care about the politicians is what their policies are and what they actually do, not what they say or who they offend or who they please.
Well, what they say, and, is a big part of it. If you could go back in time, Jack, do you vote for Trump again?
Oh, definitely. What they say is meaningless. What they do is important. Behavior is far more important than words. Words are simple. I don't care if they feel for me or not. I care what they do. Intentions are literally meaningless in politics and in life.
Interesting. All right, thank you.
That's my view.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the call. Stay safe on the roads out there in Wisconsin this morning. Lulu, real quick, I'm late for the news, but I want to get you on. What did you want to say?
Okay, you drove me crazy with that damn test, because I've taken these tests before.
Yeah.
But the only thing I agreed with was a manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had to drag my 10-pound dictionary out because I'm living in the 40s, it's really not a poor definition. Because as soon as you said that question, I went back to managing employees. And that's exactly basically what it says in the, well, it didn't say employees, but you manipulate people. It's artful management.
Mm.
Skillful or artful management. But that's what's wrong with these tests, because you look at the questions depending on what you've done, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't strongly agree. I only strongly disagreed with two, and I went right down the middle with disagree. So my score is a little bit higher. And we have lightning in Foxborough Grove and thunder.
So, Lula, you are more evil than either Curtis or Roger, is what you're saying.
No.
I think that's what you just reported, Lulu.
No. But
the neighbors are going to be keeping an eye out on you now.
I've taken that other test that somebody brought up, the false good and good or whatever it was.
Okay.
You know, so they try to trip you up. And I take those, and I've never had a problem with them, so I'm not upset.
All right. Well, an evil person like you knows how to get around those, Lulu. I think that we know that now. All right. Thanks so much for calling in. Have a great morning.
Thank you very much.
You bet. 312-981-7200. You heard the tone a moment ago. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 4:02 in the morning. Let's get our news now. Roger Badish. Four 10 in the morning on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Hey, Curtis, is Amy Van Haren supposed to jump on the phone with us now?
She'll join us at 4:30.
Oh, at 4:30 in the morning. Okay, so we got a little time. We're going to be talking, because I know you've been waiting for it, we're going to be talking about breastfeeding a little bit on the show, because this is an interesting story. Amy Van Haren is the CEO and founder of Pump Spotting, the app that helps moms find places where they can easily pump and feed, because that is something you need to do when you have a child if you're breastfeeding. And society has not made it very easy on moms, and we need to do things to rectify that. So we'll chat with her after the 4:30 news. Roger, during your news, I just was getting up walking around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look west out of our studio here, there's a building right across the street, a big apartment, uh-huh, condo building.
Right.
And I, you know, sometimes I'll look in there. It's the one that the Cochran Show is always creeping on people in the morning. And a lot of times here in the middle of the night, there's a lot of lights on. But right now, only a couple places have lights on. And I thought, you know what? I wonder, you know, I always talk about when we retire someday, getting a condo in the city.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like to do that.
Sure.
So I was thinking, I wonder what it costs to live over there.
Oh, can I take a guess?
You can. So that's...
For what, like a two-bedroom?
233 East Wacker.
Okay.
Is what's across the street from us.
You want a two-bedroom?
Yeah, I definitely would want at least a two-bedroom.
Okay. I would say a two-bedroom with a view or no view?
Let me see here. Let's take a look at this last one I had. Would have been two-bed, two-baths. What floor was it on?
Was it high up with a view? Or
looks like it was a lower
floor. Lower floor? All right, so it's not much of a view. I would say $235,000 a month. Or, well, I mean...
A month? Wow.
I'm sorry. Condo, you're buying. I'd say $235,000. How far off am I?
It was 1,352 square feet. Comes with a dryer, microwave, range, oven, refrigerator, and washer.
Okay.
Central air, forced air heating.
The condo I always see as a glorified apartment.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
Their Zestimate, what Zillow estimates that it would go for right now.
Oh, Zillow, yeah.
Yeah. $947,599.
Wow, was I really off?
Yeah.
That's like not even fun.
That is not fun.
I couldn't even dream that high. Seriously.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's like way out of my wheelhouse.
That is crazy talk, is what that is.
Well, all right. Investing is not one of my strong suits. Finance.
I hear you,
my friend. Live in the moment, buddy.
I spend in the moment.
Well,
nothing left afterwards.
Pizza or no pizza? Let me think about it.
Hey, by the way, thank you again for the Papaninos. You've been buying every week now. How much winnings did you make? You said you were going to buy pizza until the golf money runs out.
That ran out about a month ago.
I was going to say, what are you doing?
It was golf
money. We're buying the pizza.
Oh, it was the bowling money. Was like ran out about a month and a half ago.
All right, well, it's time for
We just started bowling again. Well, and I didn't win anything last
time. As I say, I saw your scores, and you can't afford no pizza.
Yeah. I need the money for the aspirin for the stiffness in my shoulders.
I'll bet. So Governor Rauner on Friday vetoed legislation that would have banned the sale of cigarettes and other tobacco products to people under 21. We tried to raise the age of being able to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21.
Right, and they used to be 21.
It did?
Back when I was a kid.
Roger, when you and I were a kid, we could go buy our moms a carton of cigarettes at the store. Nobody was going to blink an eye.
Well, we were buying it from mom, not that they knew. But when I was 18, not only were cigarettes less than 50 cents a pack, but you had to be 21 to get them back in...
In his veto message, the Republican governor wrote that raising the minimum age to buy tobacco from 18 would, quote, push residents to buy tobacco products from non-licensed vendors or in neighboring states. He says smoking is detrimental to the health of Illinoisans of all ages. It is important that we address the issues caused by tobacco use, especially since many people begin using tobacco at a young age. Unfortunately, this legislation will inhibit the choice of consumers while also not helping keep tobacco products out of the hands of youth. What a BS answer that is.
Hmm.
So what? My 18-year-old son will drive over to Indiana to go get his pack of cigarettes then?
Yeah.
Or he'll buy them from an unlicensed vendor out in West Dundee?
He'll buy him by the cigarette. He won't buy a pack.
Come on.
He'll buy him by the cigarette.
Lawmakers could try to override Rauner when they go back to Springfield after the election, but mustering enough votes to do so could be difficult. The proposal cleared the Illinois House in the spring with only one vote to spare. Along with Chicago, more than 20 other Illinois localities have raised the smoking age to 21 in recent years, according to the Illinois Lung Association. Oh, so Chicago and 20 other Illinois localities already make you be 21. I wonder if that's it by my house in Kane County. You think that's county by county? It's got to be.
Could be.
Well, that's interesting. I don't see why we wouldn't raise it from 18 to 21. I don't know why we want to make it any easier on kids 18, 19, 20 to smoke. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, you get the argument. Well, we can vote. We can drive a car. We should be able to smoke.
You can't drink. You can't vote. You can't smoke. I mean, why? I don't know, if you can do all those things, why can't they drink at 18 then?
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, they're driving and they don't know enough, and I could hear that argument, because smoking at least doesn't inhibit the driving. But if it's causing cancer like it is, if it's bad for your health like it is, all these things, we should make it more difficult for them to get it, not worry that money is going to then go to neighboring states. I mean, basically saying, no, if they're smoking, I want them to buy the cigarettes here in Illinois for the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Poorly done. I think Pritzker should jump on that.
Number of states. I'm just trying to see what the other states are doing. And I'm getting way more information than I need. Yeah, definitely way more information. Does not.
Did you hear about the drug tunnel?
Yes. Would you like some? Would you like some biscuits with that?
You know,
original recipe, sir.
That's why. That's got to be why they did it, right?
Yeah.
Tie it into a KFC, you get the munchies with your drugs.
Yeah.
U.S. federal authorities have discovered a drug smuggling tunnel between a home in Mexico and a former KFC restaurant in Arizona. See, this is the problem with the whole wall thing. There are tunnels.
You don't need
everywhere.
Them all. Yeah.
Aren't there, and I've read or heard, or I don't know where, that there's tunnels from Tijuana into, like, warehouses in San Diego and stuff, right?
There are elaborate tunnels.
I mean,
so if you're going to build a wall, you have to go...
Look at El Chapo. Yeah. That dude's getting out of high-security prisons.
Out of bathrooms.
They're building tunnels everywhere.
Yeah.
They're lighting them. There's air conditioning in them. I mean, these aren't just, I dug a hole under the wall.
Mm.
This is a real thing, baby.
You got to build the wall downwards. Underground.
Well, that's how the tunnel... The wall.
Yeah.
Well, the wall is supposed to go like 10 or more feet under.
Oh, really?
But that's not enough.
No.
You just dig deeper.
Yeah.
Department of Homeland Security officials received information. One end of the tunnel was inside an abandoned fast food joint in San Luis, 200 yards north of the U.S.-Mexico border. Mm-hmm. Police began trailing the owner of the building, Ivan Lopez, and arrested him this month after finding several packages of methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl in the back of his truck.
Oops.
The arrest led to a search of his home and the old restaurant, where agents found a hidden tunnel leading to a Mexican to a house in Mexico. It was large enough for people to freely walk through. Tunnels are a time-consuming venture, but their incidents have definitely increased since the border security measures have ramped up, said Scott Brown, special agent in charge for the Homeland Security Investigations Division. One of the things that tunneling does tell us is that as we increase infrastructure, resources patrol, that's forcing them to go to more costly routes into the U.S.
Well, it's maybe it's a more costly route, but what a smart route it is, don't you think? I mean, if you're a criminal, because every time you come over the border and you're mm-hmm. trying to smuggle drugs, you're taking right. this huge risk. It's an elaborate whatever. You build one tunnel where they mm-hmm. can just walk back and forth and walk back and forth. I mean, it seems like the smart way to go.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough, though. I don't know if they've got engineers in the cartel or what, but you got to imagine, man, how do you start out with, well, let's build a tunnel. All right. Do I just start digging? You know, okay, boss, just here? Should I just start digging? And how far down before I start going that away?
Yeah, I think the cartel has probably more sophisticated equipment than any engineering company here in the United States. And they know exactly where to dig and how far down and in what direction. I don't think they're...
How could you know that, though?
What do you mean, how could you know that?
Well, first of all...
You have equipment. You have... How do you find fish in the lake? You have the sonar.
Okay, but...
It's the same thing.
Roger, hold on. Let's step back and look at it logically just for a second.
All right.
You're in the cartel.
Yes.
You're trying to build a tunnel from Mexico to the United States.
Yes.
You can't just walk the whole path.
No, you need someone on the other side.
Yeah, but even so, I don't think it's possible for them to know exactly everything.
They can.
Will you just listen? They can't call Julie like you're supposed to when you're digging at your house and just say, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Can you make sure there's no cables, no sewers, no anything we're going to accidentally bump into? They're taking a chance here. I don't think they have high-definition sonar.
I think they do. And also, when you're digging that part
of... What does a high-definition sonar machine look like?
It's a desert. There's nothing to dig around out there.
They dug it into a KFC.
Yes, and there was somebody on the American side who was guiding them. Have you ever been out and you've seen surveyors out on the road? One guy standing with the tall pole that's marked, and you got another guy with the little spyglass thing.
He's pointing a laser somewhere. He's not looking 20
feet.
He's not looking 20 feet under the ground.
But you point that laser, and then you point the other laser underground or at the ground, and you take X-rays down. You can do that.
Roger.
You can.
You point the laser down, and you take an X-ray.
I want someone who's listening to us right now who is in that type of construction, underground construction, because a lot have to deal when you're putting a new building up.
Yes.
You have to dig down first to build the foundation. Exactly. And I'll make you a bet there is equipment out there that allows people to do that very easily.
Okay.
It's not like you who wants to dig your tree out and you have to call that special number to find out if there's wires or cables or gas lines underneath your tree.
Okay, this equipment you speak of.
This magical spell you speak of.
It's not like the stud finder you put on your wall. It's not
some
little thing.
No, it's not.
It's some big ginormous thing you got to use.
It's not that ginormous.
A big X-ray of 10 feet underground or more. It's got to be something more than just somebody standing over it.
We're not talking a robot here. We're not talking a gigantic robot thing.
I bet we are.
All right. You keep talking. I'm looking up.
Oh, I'll keep talking. And people are calling. And Curtis is getting them on. They're going to tell us. I'm telling you. And you look at these people. This guy gets busted, Roger, with heroin in his trunk. This isn't some genius engineer who's going to know all these things. I'm telling you, these people are digging down. And I guarantee you, for every 20 tunnels that lead into America, there's 100 more that ran into a sewer and then they had to start over. I'm telling you, they're not as high tech as we think.
All right.
Of course, I'm not positive of this, but I think I'm right. All right. Curtis is going to line them up. We'll take these calls in a second. 720 WGN. All right, we're digging tunnels. We're moving
drugs. I just sent you a picture.
Moving packages.
I sent you a picture in your email. About a machine that can see 3D imaging of underground.
All right, while I look that up.
And it's not that big.
Bill, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, yeah, Matt. I gotta agree with your partner there. They can do that stuff. They got machines because I have a DVD film here that it was made to a transfer DVD of them actually digging the Straight Street subway. It was never opened up. They didn't open the ground to dig that, and they didn't open the ground to dig under the river. There was a machine tunneled like a big corkscrew machine, just dug the dirt, and they pulled it out.
But they must
have done. That can be done. I mean, it's sure, just same okay, as digging okay. a tunnel in the ground. I mean, okay, even but, you can take the military Air Force in Israel. That's all underground. Because
okay,
I know the engineering company that developed that, and the ground just opened up, and the planes come out.
I'm not saying, that can't be done. I'm saying the cartel can't do that on the U.S. border.
Why not? Why not? They get billions of dollars of money.
Because we're watching them, I would think. We have this whole Border Patrol. We have this going on.
Look, the Border Patrol doesn't have probably, see, what they need, and the Border Patrol doesn't have it, is they don't have probably seismograph equipment with them to tell us someone's digging down under the ground. In other words, you can dig, and if no one can feel it or hear it, you're going to dig it.
Okay, so they take this big, ginormous machine you're talking about, this big corkscrew, because that's not a small thing, right?
No, it's not small.
No, it's
it
huge.
Comes in different sizes.
In different sizes, about the size of a small caterpillar.
Okay, so it's a
good size. A small caterpillar, not a great
size.
Big giant bulldozer.
But
you know?
If they just start digging, they could run into something, right?
Well, they check that. I mean, sure, they can run into rock, but they'll go through rock. What are they going to run into out in the desert?
Well,
there's nothing out there, Matt. There's
nothing
in the desert.
In parts there are,
Have you ever been out in the desert?
They landed in a KFC. There's sewers by
Well, no, they
KFC.
Didn't run into that. They made it go to the KFC.
I understand, but
they
that means
the design
they had
to put
get
it there.
So they had to get there. So they had to go through areas that have sewers and things like that.
No. It depends. Well, they dig it deep enough to miss sewers and that. They know where they're going with that stuff. Because
How do they know?
Only place you got to worry is if you're at the KFC, because if you're out in the middle of the desert, have you ever been in the desert?
I understand that in the desert,
there's nothing out there. I mean, there's no electric lines. There's nothing out there.
Oh, my gosh. You guys. You and Roger are nothing but trouble. You know what?
We're not trouble, man. How can you coach a baseball team and not understand the theory?
I'm betting you scored worse than Lulu on the evilness scale.
No.
I'm just going to go to bed with that. Thank you very much.
No.
Sir, I appreciate it. Let's find somebody that agrees with me. Hopefully it's Scott. Scott, good morning. You're on 720 WGN.
Well, good morning, Roger. And you guys went through this tunnel thing when the Korean soccer team was lost, and it was a whole 45-minute discussion. Your passion is evident, but please keep your discussions above ground.
Did you do all that just for that joke?
No, I don't know what turns you both on about tunneling, but you guys were both
it's in the news.
Invested in the, I know that, but it goes on and on and on. It's crazy.
Well, we're going on and on because we're disagreeing.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but I like when you talk about space. That's fun. You both seem to like that.
Well, this is space, but it's underground.
Space underground, Scott. Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. All right, Melanie, let's move on here. Melanie, what do you have to say on this, my dear?
Hi. I love you guys. I listen to I wait for you every Friday night. I've been fortunate enough to go to Cabo San Lucas four times to some very luxurious hotels.
Okay.
And the Mexicans have done feats construction-wise that have just completely boggled my mind. I mean, they're capable of hanging pools, over cliffs, I mean, where the pool is jutting out, and just they're capable of anything. So going down and doing a tunnel is probably nothing for them.
Construction is
because how they utilize the hills.
All right, anybody in construction is capable of doing anything, people. I'm not disputing that. Look at the magnificent buildings here in Chicago. Yeah. I understand that construction is amazing. I'm saying cartel guys digging tunnels.
Yes.
Don't have big...
They're
not hiring Elon Musk and saying, Elon, can you bring the boring company in? We'd like to run this and they bring it up in the basement of that KFC.
And you know how they know how far down to dig? Is because they know that the...
Trial and error.
No, because sewers only go down so far. They know exactly how far down below ground sewers, electrical lines, or any other type of underground wiring or pipes have to... Have you ever been in a sewer? Did you know that the sewers in Chicago are not that far down below the surface? How do you know, Roger?
There's
well, because I walked through one.
What about the deep tunnel, Roger? You know what that is? It's deep.
Yes, and there is no deep tunnel in Arizona or Southern California because it's desert.
As far as you know.
It's desert. Well... The cartel may have dug
maybe
one.
They did. You know what? This is all we need to know. For reference, Roger, you need to look up the Tom and Jerry where whatever is in jail and he's trying to escape from jail.
Yeah.
The warden is making him do things or whatever. And so he digs a hole out of his cell.
In the wall behind the picture.
And he ends up in the warden's office in the TV that the warden bought.
Yeah.
And then the warden turns on the TV, and so he has to pretend to be all these different shows as the warden changes
channel. Yes, I saw that TV show.
So
I remember that.
Again, and he digs and digs and digs and digs, and he ends up in the warden's living room where the TV just got set, and now he's stuck in there.
And I also saw The Great Escape and knew that they ended up 10 feet in front of the tree line. So I understand that. They didn't have the equipment that we're talking about.
Neither did these guys.
4:30 News.
Thank you, Roger. Here's the headlines, Mr. Battish. Morning, everybody. 4:40 in the morning if you're just waking up. Happy Saturday morning to you. If you stayed up all night with us, thanks for hanging out. We're here until 5. The morning show with Orion Samuelson coming up in 20 minutes. Matt Bubala here with you in the Allstate Skyline Studios at 303 East Wacker. Jumping on the phone with us right now is Amy Van Haren. She is the founder, the CEO and founder of an app called Pump Spotting. Their Breast Express, a 40-foot RV nursing and pumping suite, is in town this weekend at the Chicago Baby Show at Navy Pier. And Amy's on the air with us right now. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, thanks.
Thanks for jumping up a little early with us. I imagine you're not normally up at 4:40 in the morning.
I bet there's a lot of nursing moms who are
I bet you're right about that. So the RV is traveling around the country. You're hitting 41 cities. You're not traveling in the RV. I imagine you're flying city to city and meeting the RV there.
No, I'm actually traveled most of the entire journey. There's been two of us that sleep on the RV, and we park in RV parks and show up to hang out and connect moms when we're in the towns, and then party in the RV parks in the evening.
41 cities in an RV. Now, that's got to start out feeling like, this is kind of awesome. It's like we're back in college. We're having a party in the RV. And by city number 40, you got to be like, oh, my God, get me out of this RV.
You know, you have moments where you feel like you've been on the road for a really long time, but we've gotten to see so many different places and we've met so many amazing people. And every time we show up, the community and the women are so excited to see us that it gives you the energy to keep going.
Well, tell me a little bit about Pump Spotting, the app, and why you felt the need to get that out there for people.
Yeah, Pump Spotting really connects women who are nursing and pumping over milk and motherhood, and it's a time period that can feel really isolating, and breastfeeding is really wonderful and important, but it can also feel really challenging. There's a lot to navigate, and sometimes it doesn't always go well, and for me, one of the things that made me feel better when I was breastfeeding my own children was talking to other women and to being part of a community. And I was living in Maine and working in California, so I found myself shipping hundreds of ounces of milk and pumping in bathrooms and just feeling really overwhelmed and isolated. And so I felt that we could use technology to build a better way to unite all of us, nursing and pumping moms, so that we made the journey easier together.
And so what do people do with the app? Does it help you find places where you can easily pump milk if you're not at home or not at work?
Yeah, we say it's kind of Facebook meets Yelp meets Boob. So women can talk to one another and get advice and cheer each other on. They can find and share the best place to nurse and pump, and they can find information.
Where do you think we're at as a society with breastfeeding in general? I feel like there is a lot more talk about, you know, it's a natural thing. It happens. Let's quit sexualizing it and just understand that when people are feeding, they're feeding. You get backlash on it sometimes. And then sometimes there's enough talk about breastfeeding that I'll hear people talk about don't bully people into breastfeeding, because for some women it just doesn't work, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of shades of it. I think the good news is interest in breastfeeding, and I think a willingness for women to want to breastfeed is higher than it's been in a while, which is a really great thing because of all the amazing health benefits for moms and babies around it. I think there are some places and some areas where we need to come a ways to support women so that they feel comfortable breastfeeding and breastfeeding in public. And I think it's something that you can never have too much support during that time period. But I certainly think there's more talk about breastfeeding than ever before, certainly in the media and government. And so it's a good time for us to really keep making positive movement in terms of making it easier and making it a part of day-to-day life and just something that women do, and that we set up a culture and a work system and a place where that's easy and supported.
How is the workforce coming along? Are more and more companies being good about either finding a room or finding a way to give women a place to be comfortable when they need to pump or feed?
Yes. I think that it's hard depending on the size of your company and your location. And I think that there's a real willingness to want to support breastfeeding women. And so definitely more companies are creating spaces. They're offering services like MilkStorp that help ship your milk should you need to travel. And they're just having conversations with management and teams about how to set up a productive and comfortable situation for women. And then I think there's still other companies that need to make improvements. But there's lots of ways to do that, and I think we're seeing great change happening.
Are there laws on the books that companies have to provide a space? Or have we gotten that far yet, or are companies just being better about it because it's being talked about more?
Yeah, yep, there are laws that protect women who are breastfeeding at work that do state that everyone has to have a clean, comfortable place to pump that, you know, is enclosed and private, and that they have to be given the time needed to be able to take the breaks. So definitely there are laws that support that and lots of management leadership that support that. It's just continuing to work on the logistics and the practicality of everyone getting on board to make that easy.
Amy Van Herren is the CEO and founder of Pump Spotting, the app that you can find on your phones. And you can see the Breast Express. It's a 40-foot RV nursing and pumping suite. It's going to be at the Chicago Baby Show this weekend at Navy Pier. Is the RV actually going to be like inside the show floor, or is it going to be outside?
Yeah, no, we're parked right on the show floor.
Excellent. And you'll be hanging out there all weekend, right?
Yeah, we'd love to see families and moms, and looking forward to it.
You can follow them on Twitter at PumpSpotting. The website is PumpSpotting.com. And you can hashtag Breast Express for the tour. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone this morning, Amy.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You have a great weekend. 312-981-7200 is the number. A little more to do before we get to the morning show next. 720 WGN. Matt Bubala Show on Twitter, at Matt Bubala. You can like our Facebook page, Matt Bubala Show on Facebook. Raj, how about the... Raj is in there right now. Did you see this? That Lane Tech... There was a story out that Lane Tech's earliest lunch period... Was it at 9:20 a.m.?
Yeah, you know what? I saw that on social media, and it's just insane.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I understand it's a big school. You got a lot of kids. You got to work things out. But trying to get a kid to eat lunch at 9:20 a.m. And then think about it. Then, so basically, they're in school from 10 to 3 nonstop.
Yeah. You know what? You know what my high school district did? I went to District 155 in the Northwest suburbs in Crystal Lake.
Okay.
In McHenry County. They give, I don't know if they still do this or not, but they gave upperclassmen, so juniors and seniors, the opportunity to go out to lunch. So you had to sign a waiver and like all this other stuff too.
You could leave.
So you could leave campus, go off campus, get lunch or whatever, and come back. And if they're worried about, I didn't look much into the stuff of why they have lunch so early for a lot of these kids at Lane Tech, but if that's the one of the reasonings why they have that, maybe you do a similar program where maybe you send off some seniors where they can go off campus and then maybe leaves up some open space in the cafeteria. I'm not sure what's...
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's open space in the cafeteria, just too many kids, or what the story is.
Well, we had, when I was teaching at, well, actually both Chicago schools, at Chicago Vocational and Clemente, they had very early lunches because there were so many students to have to deal with and so much space. Plus, they didn't want to combine the different grade levels because they didn't want to have fights in the lunchrooms.
Seriously. What was the earliest lunch they had?
I think the earliest lunch was around 9:30, but then the schools also served breakfast. So if you could get there before the first period class, you could get breakfast. They started that about 20 minutes before first period, and oftentimes I had students in first period still eating their breakfast that they had brought up from the cafeteria. It's a hot breakfast. And but, yeah, the lunches started early, around 9:30, 9:45, and they would go till about 1, 1:20 or so. And I don't know if it was because of a union thing with the workers. I don't know if it was because there was limited space. They wanted to keep certain groups of kids away from other groups of kids. And sometimes it's the scheduling of the classes, like the class length.
That's what I was just going to say, too. And it's AP classes or something like that.
Yeah, you have to, some students would have a double period class, and you would just have to kind of fit it into their schedule. And sometimes you just had to give them an early lunch.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's too early in the morning. You can't do that to
kids. And you got
to
be careful.
Then they got to go to class the rest of the
day. You got to be careful about going off campus. A lot of schools will not do it. Can't do it. It's just too dangerous. Yeah. And if we go back to what high school is, the teachers and the administration by state law are essentially your parents when you're away from home. It's a state law. You are still the guardian within the guardianship of your parents, and the school is the de facto parent when you're not at home under the guidance of your parents. So allowing you to leave campus requires a parent signature in order to go off campus, because then the school, the parent is saying, well, I won't hold the school harmful if something happens to my kid. So there's a lot more involved in that.
All right, real quick. Last story of the day. Girlfriend of the week. We're giving out that award today.
Ooh, is this something new?
An Arkansas woman was arrested after she posed as a California deputy through email to help her boyfriend, who was in an Arkansas jail, escape. Maxine Feldstein was arrested on August 17th in Jackson County, Missouri, and charged with forgery, accomplice to escape, and criminal impersonation after she used a fake email address to pose as a Ventura County Sheriff's deputy by the name of L. Kershaw to help Nicholas Lowe escape Washington custody, according to Washington County Sheriff's Office. Lowe was initially arrested for identity theft, walked out of the Arkansas jail on July 27th after Washington County police received an email from Deputy Kershaw of Ventura County, which Feldstein allegedly accused of forging. On July 27, Sergeant R. Wingate of Washington County, Arkansas, received a call from a woman who identified herself as Deputy Kershaw with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office regarding an alleged fact she had sent for the release of their hold on Nicholas Lowe, read the affidavit. Wingate said he had not received the facts and told her to email it to him. He gave her his email address. A few minutes later, Wingate received an email with an authentic-looking form from the Ventura County Sheriff's Office, which stated the Ventura County Sheriff's Office hereby rescinds the previous rendition order of inmate Nicholas Delray Lowe from your custody and release any holds implemented by Ventura County. 2 days later, a deputy from the Ventura County Sheriff's Office contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office saying that he was 2 hours away from the Washington County facility and that he was coming to pick up Lowe.
Wow.
Police began to discover the scheme after listening to calls that were dialed to the number belonging to Feldstein and subsequently found a video visit between Feldstein and Lowe. In the video, Lowe tells Feldstein to get the Washington County Sheriff's Office fax number and then call the Ventura County Sheriff's Office to get their fax number as well, according to the affidavit. Lowe tells Feldstein to tell the Washington County Sheriff's Office that she's with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office and to say that the Ventura County is having issues with overcrowding, that all low-priority extraditions have been suspended until further notice, and that they're unable to pick up the inmate for transport. So I guess they had that all recorded.
Well, that just teaches you don't record your plans.
No, no, no. It sounds like when she visited him in jail, they had it recorded.
Well, then don't talk about your plans.
Well, how else am I going to tell you? I can't dig a tunnel, Roger.
Got to get the right equipment.
Apparently. All right, let's take a quick break. Say hi to O before the morning show on 720 WGN.